song is written and dedicated for G.G. Allin.
I drink a lot of whiskey and smoking all the time. I'm getting fucked up every goddamn night. Everybody's doing cocaine and starting up fights. I'm living fast and hard and dying young with my goddamn loaded fist fury. Doing what I do and I'm spitting in your face till I'm dominating you. Living hard, doing time, and I don't give a fuck. I said deep down and thrown around and now you're out of luck. Smoking now, I'm stealing cars.
Boss!
Fight, boss.
Welcome to the Rogue Show. It is Friday night. Let me give a big shout out to these kick-ass sponsors who support this show every week. Clock Tower Pub, number one sports bar in all of Oregon. MMAMadhouse.com. Vision Smoke Shop. Check them out, visionsmokeshop.com. Clinch Custom Mouth Guards, best guards in the business at getclinched.com. Ink Tank Tattoo for all the great work they do on me. Jax Media. JaxMedia.ca, man, these guys are pumping out work like you've never seen. Go Fight Live TV, Aggressive MMA Clothing, and last but not least, Revolver MMA. Javier and the boys kicking ass. You guys know how we do it. It's open lines all night, 310-742-1799. There is no limits to our craziness. Tonight we got Lapaki from MMA Madhouse. We got the president of MMA Topics, Chris Gregory, the owner of Clinch Custom Mouth Guards, Jeff, and Doomsday Howard, pro fighter and all-around badass, is on the panel tonight. How's everybody tonight?
Good, good, man. Good.
First off and foremost, I want to give a big shout-out to all the Relentless Sports Management fighters tonight at XFC27. Threw down, did proud, love all those guys. Doomsday, how you doing, brother?
I am good, man. You know I really like you, man. I must really like you because it's 1 o'clock or more than my, my time right now.
Well, you know, this show is for the guys like you, for the guys in the media. Everyone get a place to come and just be themselves and not have to worry about suit and tie shit, you know. Just kind of enjoy being who you are. And, you know, on this show, dude, we just talk about combat sports at every level in every country of the world. We don't pick favorites. We just say our opinions.
Hey, that's what's up, man. That's what I like, man. I can be myself. I can say what I want, man. So I'm going to have fun, man. That's what's up.
Lapaki, I know you're finishing up a Muay Thai event right now with me, actually, and I appreciate you joining tonight. Chris Gregory, you're just lazy. You don't ever do shit, but why don't you tell everybody your big, tell everybody your big news today you dropped.
Well, I am the matchmaker of King of the Cage Midwest. Me and Travis Corner are the matchmakers. Obviously, I'm still doing Blackout Fighting Championships, but yeah, we're going to bring King of the Cage to Kansas and Missouri, which is pretty cool because, you know, then amateur fighters will be on MAP TV. So, you know, not many big TV deals for amateur fighters to get exposure, and we're doing it. So I'm pretty excited about that. I'm more excited for the fighters, you know, being on MAD TV. It's in 25 million homes, so I'm pretty stoked about that.
Right on. Who all here tonight watched the card up in Michigan? Howard, did you watch it?
No, I didn't get a chance, man. I was stuck in my gym training, man. I get to watch it, but I'll wait to hear the details. What's up?
Well, shit. It was a – I think it was a decent card. A lot of debuters made some statements. Definitely a big shout-out to the Dragon, Roberto Devison, I believe is how you say. He's a Brazilian kid who took the title tonight, so big shout-out to him. Though, so you're going to love watching Dave Kershane. This kid made this dude look like a fool on the ring, man. I mean, he literally – how many times, guys? 5 times he put him on his ass and walked away and told him to get back up?
Yep.
Wow,
I mean,
man.
Dude, he was just clowning.
Wow, the new talent coming out, man, it's a scary sight, man. I tell all the fighters, I'm like, well, y'all might be training, but y'all might be on point, man, because the new talent coming out, it's going to be scary. When they get to the UFC, y'all better watch out. I know I'm on point. I'm ready for it. But I see it, and I'm like, I got 10 more years left, and after my 10 years, I'm done.
What's better than a walk away knockout? When you knock somebody out and you just hold your hands up and walk away and don't pounce and pound, that's fucking badass.
I agree.
Yep. Okay, Howard, let's ask, you know, we ask this question a lot on this on this show, especially for pro fighters. What would you prefer, a head kick KO or a punch walk off home run?
Oh, a punch walk off home run, easy.
What about a KO or a tap to strike?
KO.
Now see, Lapaki's big thing is he likes to see somebody break, and that's why he likes tap to strike so much.
I feel you on that, but I like the KO, man. Let me tell you something. The KO is one of those feelings where when I knocked out Dana Robinson and he didn't know where he was and he didn't remember the fight. And, like, when I go to shake his hand, he's like, he hesitates. That's awesome. And when I still see that man I go to shake his hand, he hesitates because he's not sure what really happened. Like, he's seen it, but he doesn't remember it. Awesome feeling.
Okay. Something that we love to do, and your first time on this show, we really like to give an honest, honest fucking opinion of the sport. I got to ask you, as somebody who is in the top, quote-unquote, level of the organizations, of the leagues, of the sport, what do you think about all these guys who play it safe and fight not to lose?
To be honest, man, you can't blame them. It sucks to it, man. I mean, I've been kicked out of the UFC before. I experienced it, man, and it sucks because, you know, when you in the UFC, you can't have a secondary job. Well, some guys can't, man, because you have to train. You got to train every single day, man. So you can't fight, you know, to fight. You have to fight to win, man, or fight to, you know, hold your place in your weight division, man. And it sucks all the time, but that's what you got to do. It does suck, yeah, but you understand. You know, we don't, as fighters, we don't get fed a lot, man. We get fed, you know, only when we win, basically, you know, and then we get criticized when we lose. And then the worst part is how sometimes we win is criticized. So we have to fight to win, man, and it sucks. You know, sometimes we don't go out there and put in a show, but, you know, we need security. You know, we got families to take care of, so that's why you see boring fights sometimes because, you know, we know back in our head, if we lose a certain fight, we might get cut. So that's why you see that.
Hey, at least, you know, I don't have a problem. I understand that mentality. I'm a bigger fan of guys who go out there beast mode, man. I know that maybe it's stupid some points in their career, especially in certain fights. I just like those guys who go out there and just leave it all in the cage, man, and just go for it.
Let me tell you something. I do, too. I like seeing those fights, but here's the problem, man. When you have kids to feed, you know, and you're like, I might lose this fight, you want to play it safe. And it sucks, man. You know, this is the sport we have. It's either, you know, eat or be eaten in this MMA world, man. That's why you see certain fighters, you know, who don't go all out. They want to. Trust me, I wish I could be certain for this. I could take some fights back. Record go all out. Well, because I was in certain circumstances, I can't because, you know, I don't want to lose my job. It sucks, man, but, you know, me getting kicked out of the UFC going back, I learned a secret. You know, it's like when you're at a certain point in your career and you don't make it to the big show, you're not the one in the top 10, you know, it's just an opportunity to make some money, you know. And now me getting back in the UFC, I appreciate it, and I'm going to take full advantage of it, but I don't have – this isn't not my main source of money no more. I have other sources of money. I work outside the UFC, you know, between teaching and other stuff. I have a secondary plan, so if this doesn't go well again, you know, I'm not worried about, like, oh, I'll lose my job. I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to go there, have fun, try to do my best. If it doesn't work out, I got a secondary plan. So, you lose connection? Hello?
No, I think we're all still here. I think we're all still here.
Okay, sorry, no.
Hey, what's up?
Go ahead,
finish. Nah, I think we're all still here. No, he asked if we were all still here. I said, yeah, my bad.
I'll be honest. I, and you folks know me. I had a pipe that was clogged, so I leaned over real quick a little far from the headphones, and they popped off. But straight up, I agree that, you know, I guess at that point, you are looking long-term. You are trying to figure out and maintain yourself at that level and that kind of pay scale and that kind of notoriety. But coming up to get to that point, how important do you think it is for fighters to take and go outside their region as young pros?
That's hard, man. It's hard, man. It's a dog-dog world in the fight game, man. You know, and it's just so many things come with it, man. Because you want to go out there and do your best, and you want to show you that you're a proven fighter, you know. But it could be a bad night, you know. You could be. I've been experienced where I've broken people's chin and put people in the hospital, and they win a decision over me. You know, people get robbed and everything, and it shows, man. You know, when Dana White comes and says, you know, I am mad at the Las Vegas Commission because he felt like Jonathan Hendricks won. I mean, what do you say to that? Imagine being Jonathan Hendricks and your boss says you won, but the commission, you know, feels the other way that they give the GSP. Then what? You know, that's a lot. That happens a lot in the MMA people's career where they won, they clearly won the fight or should have won the fight, but because it's just here, one way, or maybe there's bias, or maybe there's other stuff behind it, you know, that's it, man. One bad fight or one bad decision could change your whole career, man. You know, that happens so much. And it sucks. It sucks. It's basically you throw the dice, man. You throw the dice and hopefully you hope for the best. And that sucks to fight like that. You know, like I said, I will be honest. You know, GSP lost a fight. He lost the fight. And GSP knows he lost a fight. But because, you know, politics and people saw a certain way, you know, Jonathan Hendricks got robbed. You know, but that happens a lot in sport. That's not the only first time. That happens so many times. And because stuff like that happens, either guys get frustrated and quit, or your career goes the opposite way.
Now, you know, that's interesting, talking about the judges' issues. What do you think about the old school, like, judging the fight in its entirety versus a 10-point system? Do you like that? Do you not like that? What do you think about going back to a 10-minute, 5-minute round or an all, you know, like something like that?
No, here's my thing. We need the right judges, man. We need ex-MMA fighters who should be judges now. You know, Carlos Newton started it. That's a perfect judge. You know, we need that. They need to start hiring them because, you know, these judges are either boxing judges or they have to have much MMA experience. So it's their opinion and not their experience, man. And it sucks. Fighters suffer for it, man. And that's the problem.
So let me ask you, how do we address, okay, look, we, and you never know, he might be calling in tonight, but one of the guys on the show tonight right now is a state referee and ex-fighter here. We have another judge who, a referee who works in and out of the UFC and a lot out in the Pacific Northwest, and he's also a judge and a referee and a fighter, and somebody's got a computer on. How do you address this? What's the first step in fixing this?
Education, man. That's the first step. When you are a ref, they have to teach you what to look up and what you should be watching for. I mean, this really, literally, just now for commission, to be a commission MMA ref, this test you have to take, and you have to know certain submissions and know certain things or certain patterns when someone's not responding to submit, when you got to stop a fight. You know, it's the same thing for the judge. What you should be looking for, what's this, what's that. But it's like that for the rest, but not for the judge. It's like sometimes the thing, these judges, right, and it's like the luck of the draw. Sometimes you get a good judge, and sometimes you get a judge who really don't know what they're doing. You know, and it sucks. It sucks because that judge, you know, can be the result of your MMA career.
Okay, as a fighter, how much does that weigh on you then?
Man, that's the most stressing thing ever. Because when you go to the judges, you never know. You never know. I've seen guys beat guys down, put guys in stretchers. I've been on the side of that where I put the guy in the stretcher and the guy in the stretcher won. I don't get that. I was like, what? He's in the stretcher. He couldn't walk out the cage and he won the fight. How? How did he win this fight? How? They couldn't raise their hand. They don't put him in the stretcher. And he won the fight. You know, so it sucks. It sucks being a fighter and experiencing that.
What, Jeff?
Well, Trump system. That's a prime example right there.
There you go.
So, okay, now, how do you get to the point where you, and this is for anybody on the show tonight or fans, if you guys want to call in, tweet in, fax in, whatever the hell you guys want to do. How do you address a takedown versus somebody who stops it, or somebody, you know, who defends the takedown, or somebody who's on his back but more aggressive? How do you get a judge to truly understand the difference of a guy being in top hurting somebody and being dominant and aggressive and controlling, and a guy on the bottom who's truly the aggressor, the controller, the dominator?
All right. They need to go to a Naga tournament or a grappling tournament and learn that judging system. okay? They need to learn not just the system and how we judge it. We have a particular system. We understand the system when it comes to grappling charge. Then they need to go through a Muay Thai judging system and understand that system, okay? And then incorporate the boxing system. Then go to a wrestling match, you know what I'm saying, a collegiate wrestling match, and learn that system, okay? And then what you do is, after you do that, you combine it as a mixed martial artist judge. You put it as one, and you combine it all into one system, then you have an understanding. That's how that should happen. But no one sees that. Everybody still has an opinion. Well, I kind of thought he wanted to fight. I don't know, but why is that? He had more tickets. He had more things. No. Learn the systems of the system of fighting. Jiu-jitsu, judo, wrestling, kickboxing, boxing, Muay Thai, savant. Learn all the judging systems, okay? Have an experience with them. Put it together. No one's doing that. Everybody's just having this opinion. I kind of thought he won because of this. I experienced the same thing. I thought when I beat Gerard Hall in my last fight, I actually won a unanimous decision. One kid said, you are a Hall's way. I said, how? I said, I ended the fight in mouth. How did he have the other way? It's crazy, brother. It was just based, and he stated on a Twitter account and said, oh, that was my opinion. How is that your opinion, but not judging? That's crazy.
It's something, you know, we all talk about all the time. And, we know a few judges personally that we feel are really, honestly, good judges, you know, that know what they're doing. But in the mainstream of judging, and it's even at the higher level, it's become almost a joke, you could say. You know, I mean,
they're just not educated in the sport. That's the problem. They have no idea what to judge. I mean, they're judging people that are on top, not doing shit. When you got a guy on bottom just constantly going for subs, I mean, who's winning there in your eyes? In my eyes, I know the guy that's going for subs, that's being active. I know that guy's winning the fight. But, you know, you got people, they're on top. Oh, they're winning the fight. Well, they don't know jiu-jitsu. And it all depends because it seems like judges, they're only good, you know, they only specialize in one, like one martial art. Like judge is either a wrestler or they know karate. That's how it is around here, at least. Or they're like a master in karate, and then you got a jiu-jitsu guy. So it's just like you just never know how they're going to judge because it's really based on opinion. I mean, that's basically how it is now, you know. It's not based on really anything anymore because it's just a fucking opinion.
I agree. 100% I agree with that. Even in UFC, it's based on opinion. You know, and when you base something on opinion, popularity and politics come into play. And that's so unfair because there's no technical than with standard. The technical standard of judging is it's just opinion.
And also when the judge is sitting there, you know, they're feeling the atmosphere just like anybody else is. They can't say they're not. You know, I mean, they're feeling the atmosphere just like anybody else is. And, you know, I think a lot of them tend to sway with what the crowd is thinking, too. You know, I mean, it's just they're there right there listening to everything that's going on. And, you know, maybe they think because the crowd, you know, I mean, I don't know if that's true, but it just seems like that's the way they constantly go.
That all comes into play, all of it. One big thing that comes into play is what, if it's a close fight, is what the coaches are saying in the corners. If there's a close fight and the judge isn't sure, and there's a corner that they respect, a coach that they respect, and they hear him say, you won that round, then a lot of times that's the way they're going to go. So it's definitely, there's a big problem with the whole system. There's not enough people who've done it before. And then when you get people who've done it before, then there becomes the issue of, well, they're biased because they're from a team. They fought against the team. It just raises more issues. It's just a big pain in the ass. It's hard to find a real solution to all of it because, you know, you go to all fighters as judges, and now you got fighters as judges who have opinions on camps and fighters, and it's hard.
I agree with that, but when a corporation, government like Dana White, you know, the biggest, you know, president of the corporation, biggest fight venue in the world, says there's a problem with the judging, what the fuck? When Dana White says, when it says, I am sick of this judging, there's something wrong with the judging, what the fuck? What did the fighter say? You know why I hear that? holy shit, you're telling me basically I could basically almost kill somebody and still fucking lose? Wow. So basically I'm also going to Vegas and just fucking gamble my house away. And see, and hopefully I win.
Now, Jeff, okay.
Right,
now,
right?
Yep, no, you're right. And, you know, Howard, I don't know if you put on any promotions yourself, but I know Jeff has and Chris has. What's the hardest thing about trying to find good judges?
Well, I've been with this group for a while, so I'm not having much trouble, but they're just not enough. It's a new sport. There's still all these guys that are boxers. They're from the boxing group. So they don't understand. They think leg kicks aren't anything. No, they don't understand what a real submission attempt is or isn't. That's the biggest thing. Just some time's going to have to go by so more people who are actually MMA people can get involved in that part of the sport, because, you know, it's right now pretty much any dipshit can go and sign up and become a judge. If they can in this state, that doesn't mean they're going to get hired to be a judge, but they can become a licensed judge real easy.
Yeah, it's too easy to be a judgment. I mean, the people I meet who are judges sometimes, I'm like, how are you a judge? When's the last time you judge anything? And they know nothing about the sport.
Who's listening in the background? Is someone listening to the radio?
Mr. Chavis.
It might be me. Hold on.
No, it's Jeff. We got it fixed. Hey, is this Dave Crescent?
This is an insane one.
And then do we also, do we also have Daniel Swain with us as well?
Daniel's on the phone. I can see him. Is he on the phone too?
Swain.
Swain, are you on the phone? Hold on, let me walk out here and yell at him.
Okay,
he's not far from me.
Hey, congratulations, bro.
Are you on the radio? You're not on the radio. You're talking to Jason. He's not on the radio with us.
Oh, well, whoever's that number,
congratulations, man. Congratulations, bro.
Thank you. Dude,
that was
I am so inspired
you don't understand
right
how much fun that was to watch. That was so much fun to watch, dude. That was awesome.
Hey, Dave,
you guys like my game plan?
Oh, dude. Yeah. Hey, Dave, let me do the correct announcement. Everybody, I'd like to welcome XSD fighter Dave Crescent, fresh off his kick-ass victory tonight. You're live, Dave, with MMA Topics, Shut the Mouth Guard, Doomsday Howard, UFC fighter, obviously, you know, Lapaki and me. Welcome to the show, brother.
Welcome, brother.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, you finally got the opportunity that you've deserved. You've been fighting dudes 20, 30, 40 pounds out of your weight class and got on a nasty 9-10 fight win streak. Now you get to go and fight for real in your weight class, and you destroyed this motherfucker tonight. How did that feel?
Oh, dude, I wish it was a 5-round fight. It was so fun. I've never had more fun in a fight in my life. It was just like I was holding mitts for the guy, and I got to hit him back. That's what it felt like.
Oh, okay, I want to ask you about that. The first time you put him down, the crowd went crazy, and everybody assumed you were going to jump on him, but you walked away. Did you see something when you connected that punch that said, I got him?
Actually, you know what? I was more just trying to make a point to the president of the XFC. The reason why they signed me, I'm crazy. And you know what? I was going to show them that insane factor and just let them all know. And I, when he hit me, I was like, when you get hit by 55ers, they don't hit hard like I do. It was fun. It was like, he hit me, I was like, oh, he's just playing patty cake. I'm going to ruin this kid.
Howard, so you know he's spent the last, 2.5 years fighting 20 pounds or so out of your weight class because that's all that was really available being offered, and now you've gotten to go down to your natural class.
Yeah.
Man, that's dope.
Dude, it's awesome fighting that way.
Man, I want to say congratulations, man. That's dope, man. I've been watching you, and you definitely been fighting guys heavier than you, man, and you still been wrecking hells, and to hear you doing that well in your own weight class, man, you're going to be a force to be reckoned with, so I'm glad you are a 55 and a welterweight.
I appreciate that.
So, you get that victory, man. Who's the first person you called back home?
I called my beautiful fiance. I called her, told her I won. She was super excited. Hold on. The CEO of the XFC is walking in.
Okay.
Thanks, Dad. Dude, I had one of the best referees tonight, too, if you guys noticed.
Dope.
Yeah. He did a good job. He did.
He did. Do you ever feel like, you know, like when you play a video game, like Tekken or Mortal Kombat, and you win like 20 fights in a row, and you feel like there's nobody in this arcade that's going to beat me at this game. I'm just going to stay here all night. That's kind of what I felt like in the ring.
That's fucking awesome. Yes, man. You're the fucking man for that one. Awesome.
Like, who's going to put their corners up next? Put your corners up because I'm going to beat you.
Awesome. Yes. Put your corners up so you can lose them real quick.
You know what I mean? Move them up. Dude, you know who's so awesome that's really been really cool to me tonight? Pat Moses, man. He came up to me, shook my hand, talked to me. He said he read some articles on me and really can relate with my life. And we've been talking tonight. I've been hanging out with him a little bit with me and Adam Smith. And Daniel Klein had a tough loss tonight. But he'll be fine. He beat the shit out of a guy and got caught with like a minute left. And he was giving the thumbs up right before he went out like a man. He didn't tap. Mad respect out to him.
Dude, I'll be honest. Swain looked fucking great. And, dude, he looked like he was really tall.
Dude,
he
was looking him.
Dude, that arm triangle, he sat in that thing for like 45, 50 seconds before he finally was asleep.
I know, dude. The only bad thing about it, he fought one. I was in the hole, so I was warming up. And, like, I was watching it, and he was dominating, so I figured he was going to win a decision. And then I come back out from the dressing room, and he was laying there, and I was like, what the fuck? And you know when you get mad when you're, like, your little brother gets beat up, and you want to go beat up the guy? That's kind of how I felt.
Now, that's funny.
I'm
going
to go kick that guy when he walked by.
You got to go and
hey, guys. I got to get out of here. I got to get up in the morning to train. So, man, thank you. Hey, congratulations, brother. You're going to do big things, man. Keep going strong, man. Keep doing what you're doing and represent the sport well, man. I'm proud of you, man. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yes, sir.
I will be.
Hey, thank you so much, Doomsday. It was an honor, man. Anytime, you're welcome to come on.
Thank you, man. Hit me up. Peace.
Later. Everybody, one last shout-out. That was John Doomsday Howard. You guys catch him fighting on the big show. You know where to look for him. He's a beast. But now back to another beast representing Pac Northwest MMA, the insane one. Obviously, you got to make a great statement. How good are you feeling still right now? Are you still, like, jumping around giddy?
Dude, I'm hanging out with Pat Miletich. How cool is that?
Okay, that's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, dude, the best thing about it is we're identical. Like he even said, he's like, dude, you're like me 10 years ago. And I'm like, dude, that's an honor. I mean, I looked up to that guy. I've looked up to him. I heard he has a book out. I can't wait to go read it. Like, Daniel Swain told me he had it. Daniel Swain started telling him about his book, and he came over and started sitting with us. Adam's actually having a conversation with him right now. I actually kind of snubbed him when I got on the radio with you guys. I didn't mean to. But he understood. But, no, he's a savage. This month, the last month from today, you know, a blessing with my son, Mason, Mad Dog, Shane being born. I mean, I'm so high on life right now.
Oh, I bet, dude. Dave, look, I talked to John the other night, Wednesday night. We were talking to him, and I told him, you know, he said, first of all, you know, he was super excited that you stepped up and took the fight that no one wanted. But then for you to come back and say, hey, look, I'm going to fuck everybody's world up and clean shop, he was super excited, like all your fans were. And you definitely, I mean, you were trending on Twitter, motherfucker. I mean, you definitely made a statement worldwide tonight for people to pay attention to you.
I appreciate it.
Oh, dude.
I hope so. I mean, I'm coming for that belt. Scott Holzman, he better keep his eyes over his shoulders, look around. He's like, he's going to be in a cage with me soon enough.
Well, that's what's the best shit about it, man. So, are you flying out tomorrow?
There's no way around it. Yeah, I fly out tomorrow morning. Actually, John Prisco is actually giving me a ride to Grand Rapids in the morning, the president. Super cool guy, down to earth. Couldn't be happier to work for someone. It's probably the best boss I've ever had in my whole life. I mean, it's a dream come true. You know, have a home that you're just. I mean, I'm super. I can't be more. Like, I'm stuttering. That's how happy I am.
Dude, well, Dave, you know, look. You're talking to your friends, and definitely everybody on the show tonight, and probably 99% of the people listening regularly every week, they know what kind of love and respect we have for you and for Daniel and for Lee and all you fighters up in the Pacific Northwest. You guys have all busted your ass for years, and you guys are getting opportunities.
And you know what?
Go for it.
Dude, Jason, my manager, Jason Ellis has put us all in the same. He's getting us the fights that we should have got years ago. I mean, Jason, my manager, is the best manager I've ever dreamed of having. He's the coolest guy. I appreciate you guys hooking us up. I mean, I can't talk good enough about him. I mean, he's a stud. I mean, I wish he was here with me right now. But, you know, he's down in Florida staying warm up here in the frigid, frozen tundra where we're at. It is
now,
cold. Like, when you walk outside, you run.
I saw the press release that he was shoving the other day that you guys are all going to be sponsored by Alchemy Water, huh?
Yeah, Alchemy Water has been hooking me up, man. They're going to start sending me water every month, and they hooked me up with 1,000 shares. Love them. I love the water. I mean, I was drinking the water all day. I mean, talk about a great rehydration. I've never felt more rehydrated for a fight. When I went into the fight, I weighed 178.
Yeah, buddy. Finally fighting. Dude, this is great to see you be able to get down there and come back and be the same guy where you see him, but you're fighting the class that you have finally got the opportunity to go after. And now you got a home.
Well, technically, yeah, exactly. But technically, I didn't make weight, but I did make weight. It's weird over here in Michigan. Let me tell you guys about this. So everybody out there on Facebook talking shit about everybody missing weight. In the state of Michigan, there are no weight classes. You guys got to be within 3 pounds of the fighter. So I was thinking, I was like, in the back of my mind, I'm a wrestler. I don't mind cutting weight. I'll do my job and make my weight. But I heard it from the horse's mouth, John Prisco himself. He says, hey, you can be within 3 pounds. I'm like, so that means if I weigh in at 56, that means he can weigh in at 59. And I was like, okay, well, I'd be pissed if that would have happened to me. So I was the guy that I was smart about it. I was like, fuck that. I'm gonna weigh in at 59, knowing that he's gonna weigh in at 56. So I did, and you know, I could have made it. You know, I actually enjoyed. I was down to 56, and then I was like, they said I could be 59, so I enjoyed myself a 32-ounce Gatorade. I mean, I took the slowest sips of my life. It lasted 3 hours.
Oh,
yeah, I was drinking Gatorade for 3 hours. It was awesome.
See, I thought that's smart.
That's why I weighed in at 59.
People could talk all that shit, but I think that was smart on your part, you know, obviously. You don't have to fucking cut all the weight for no reason. It's ridiculous.
Exactly. Well, it's like, I'm a wrestler. I know better. I'm like, I was trying to tell Swain was, like, stressing out about it because the scale they had was weighing in on carpet. So the scale they had was pound and a half heavy. So, like, the scale that we were at, we had a doctor scale at the sauna where we were 10, and it was a pound and a half heavier than that one. And I told Clint, I was like, dude, your guy's going to come in, you know, at, you know, 46, 47, so you could be within 3 pounds. Don't go run. And by golly, he went running. And then later that night, he was like, I should have just listened to you. Like, you were smart about it. You didn't even run any more than you had to. You know what I mean? What's the point of working hard for no reason?
Exactly. I'm the kind of guy that just, like, not to work hard.
Is Daniel playing on the radio?
I don't think so.
Hey, what's
up? You guys
want
to talk to him for a little while?
Dave, why didn't you want to finish him on the
Jason?
Ground? No, this is Rob.
Huh? Who's this?
Hey.
Oh, Rob. What's up, buddy?
Not much, man.
Why didn't I want to go to the ground? What's the point of going to the ground if he couldn't touch me on my feet? My boxing was way better than his, and I knew it. And there was no way. He tried to take me down a little bit, but I felt so confident with my hands and the way that my hands were flying that I wanted to put on a show for the president. And I told him, I was like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to stand there right in his wheelhouse, and I'm going to knock him out. So I told him. So I wanted to do what I said I was going to do.
You did that.
Yes, sir. Hey, but let me see if Pat Milicic will talk to you guys. You guys want to talk to Pat Milicic?
Yeah.
Hey, will you do something, a favor for me, Pat?
What?
Will you talk to these guys for like 2 minutes? Here he is.
Yeah, do whatever you
got.
Yeah!
Hey,
guys, how are you?
Hey.
Good.
Hey,
how are you doing tonight, Pat?
I'm doing good, thank you.
So, which of the knockouts did you prefer? The Corshane or the Townsend one? Which of the knockouts did you prefer, Townsend or Corshane?
Corshane, what are you talking about? It was beautiful. Great boxing by a guy that's a very good wrestler who's incorporated boxing into his game and really shows a true, well-rounded mixed martial arts game.
Yeah, we're super stoked that he's getting to have this national stage to really show his skill set.
Yeah. No, it was fun. And I like Corshane a lot, you know, for what he's been through in life, the way he's handled it. He's a well-rounded mixed martial artist and a guy that he wears the badge well.
The Bucky, keep going, the Bucky. You're killing it.
What's that?
I thought the Bucky was going to ask you another question. Hey, I gotta ask you. Watching all this young raw talent, you've seen it all over the years progress. How excited are you for the future with this younger crop coming up so well rounded?
It's fun. It's nice to see a guy, you know, going back to Corshane, I see a lot of guys that train a hodgepodge of martial arts, and they're mediocre at everything. But with Corshane, he's sharp with his wrestling. He's solid. He's a great athlete. He's got good work ethic, obviously, and he's absorbed the boxing well. So it's generally the guys who are good athletes, good work ethic, good base to begin with, who absorb the other arts well and turn into great fighters. And that's something that's nice to see in today's mixed martial arts, because there's so many guys that are kind of mediocre at everything and never built a base in a lot of things or one thing. And the wrestling is definitely the best base to start with, so it's actually refreshing to see a guy who started with one thing, he's excellent at one thing, and then became excellent at other things.
Pat, how special is Holly Holm? You've got to see her fight a couple times on Axis, and most of us haven't seen her in person. What do you think about her as a prospect?
Well, Holly was actually a very good kickboxer before she became a boxer, and now she's, after winning, 14 or 17 world titles in boxing, a girl who knows how to kick, knows how to punch, knows how to grapple. We haven't had a chance to see a lot of it, but, at Jackson's MMA, they say her grappling is exceptional, and I think we might have a chance to see it if she gets into the UFC and has to face Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, I think that's something that I'm looking forward to. Pat, we appreciate you taking a couple minutes to chat with us tonight. We'll let you get back to that party there, and you can keep chatting with Dave.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, wow, guys. And let's add to this coolness of XFC27 tonight. I believe we now have Daniel Swain with us. What's up, killer?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Oh, man, not much. How you doing tonight, brother?
It hasn't been a great night for me, but, I'm having fun now. I'm hanging out with Dave and Pat myself as well, so, it's turned into a decent night.
Well, let me tell you, first of all, I know from a lot of fans out there, you made a serious, serious fucking impression. I know you didn't get the end that you wanted, but those first two rounds, brother, you were a fucking beast.
Well, thank you very much. I've been training my stand-up and my ground game a ton, being with Trevor Prangley. So to be able to showcase those skills, even though I didn't get the decision I wanted, he caught me in a bad position. But I feel like I definitely showed a different Daniel Swain than what's been seen before.
Dude, where did you pick up the arm triangle sweep?
Oh, man, I hit that in the gym all the time. It's one of my favorite sweeps now. I've been training gi a lot more, but I still do a lot of no-gi stuff, even in the gi. Like, I'll hit sweeps with no-gi where I won't be grabbing any material and do that. That's actually one of my favorite sweeps to do, and I've just been working it and working a lot of my other different ground stuff, and, it worked out for me. It was beautiful. So
that was wicked awesome, bro. That thing was wicked awesome.
Where'd the hands come from? Holy shit, the hands, man. That was wicked. That was crisp, sharp, hard, straight punches. Very impressed.
Yeah, we got a new boxing coach over at Trevor Pringley's, a.k.a. Matt Sweeney. I got to give all the credit to him. He's working with me constantly. If he can't make it out to a.k.a., I go meet him down in Spokane. He's given me power. Showed me the fundamentals of how to punch someone. And, it gave me a lot more power. It gave me a lot more crispness. And I was glad that, I got to show that because Matt Sweeney, he puts in a ton of effort and a ton of work over at Trevor Prangley's AKA. And I'm glad I got to show some of that. I hope he's proud of what he saw tonight, even though I didn't get the decision. I felt like, man, I was killing him on the feet. I was killing him. And, it sucks. It sucks. But, you live and you learn. I'm going to be back. I'm just going to keep working on everything I'm working on. I'm going to be better. I'm only 22 years old. I got caught tonight. I hate losing. Hate it. But I'll be better. And I'll come back and show the world.
How nice is it to know that you have a home now to here in the States to perform at, a nationally televised company that is now breaking into South America with a brand new television deal down there?
It's amazing. I knew signing with the XFC was a great decision for my career. XFC is such a great promotion. And with the new deal in South America, honestly, it's just icing on top of the cake, to be honest. There's a chance I might be fighting in Brazil soon, which is an amazing opportunity for me. I'd love to go down there if the XFC wants to bring me down there. And I hope that my performance tonight wants them to bring me down there.
Oh, definitely. I mean, tonight's performance, like you said, you didn't get the outcome you wanted, but you showed the world that whether it's on the ground or whether it's standing, you've got what it takes. You're here and fucking wake up, folks, because you're coming.
you know, that's what I'm striving for. I want, you know, I'm a great wrestler, but that's not all I want to be. You know, I want that Johnny Hendricks striking, and I want that fucking Jake Shields grappling. You know what I mean? I want to be the best in every aspect. I want to be able to beat you in every part of the game, and that's what I strive for in the gym, and that's what I was trying for tonight. And you know, it didn't go my way, but I feel like I left a good taste in the XFC's mouth with me. So, you know, I'm happy with my performance. I'm not happy with the outcome. It sucks, but you know, I'm gonna keep working. I'm gonna keep getting better.
Well, that's something we all know about you, especially, you know, us up here in the Pac Northwest have been watching you, you know, grow here, grow over at Pancrase, and now come back to the state and you know, find a big home to really build your career. I love it. And, you know, I'll tell you what, as a fan, I would say don't hang your head in the slightest bit. I was excited to watch you. I jumped up and down with proud to see your performance. And you know what? You fought like so many fucking guys don't anymore. You refused to tap. You said, I'm going to keep punching. I'm going to keep working. And if I don't get out of it, I'm going to sleep. And you, like a man and like a fighter, you went to the end. And I give you much love and respect for that.
Thank you. I actually just had a conversation with my manager, Jason Ellis, about that. He was telling me, man, you know what? Just to be safe, if you're in a position like that, just tap. I was like, look, bro. You sign me and who I am, I'm not going to tap. You got me in a choke, I'm not going to tap. Yeah, I might tap in an armbar. I'm not looking to be out for 7 weeks or months or whatever, popping my elbow. But you got me in a choke, I'm going to fight till that fucking thing puts me to sleep, you know? I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to do that. That's not who I am. I don't quit. I don't quit ever. I'm going to keep coming.
Okay. Dude, when he slammed you the first time, and you were able to roll him belly down with that arm bar. It seemed like he was really putting that knee heavy on your arm. How heavy was he? Was he on there, or was it just the camera angle?
You know, I didn't really feel it that much, to be honest with you. I knew that's the defense he was going for. I felt like I could work through it and get the sub. He had great grip strength. He had a great armbar defense there. And that's why ultimately, like, I was pulling on. I was like, I can't waste energy on this. I need to get out and get to a different position and try and sweep or try and get to my feet. So I made the cognitive decision to, you know, let go of the armbar. But really all he had was a solid defense. I didn't feel any pressure. Like, he wasn't fighting it off. I just knew that I didn't want to waste the energy trying to break it because he had a good defense on it.
Now, you know, obviously, you know, you're going to get to go home and watch all this. Are you going to take any time off, or are you so mad about this inside yourself you're going to hit the gym tomorrow?
I will be in the gym on Monday. I will take Sunday off. I get back tomorrow night into Spokane. I'll take Sunday off. I'll be in the gym on Monday. Guaranteed. The thought of losing made me feel sick. And now that it's happened again for the third time in my career, it legitimately, like, it just crushed my heart, you know what I mean? But it also gave me that, like, I need to get back in the gym. I need to go now. So, you know, I'll be in the gym on Monday. I'm ready. I'm feeling motivated as hell, so.
What do you think about his experience level? Was there anything in the fight that surprised you, Daniel?
No, I knew he was going to come and try and take me down. I knew he was a good wrestler, and he did get some great takedowns on me. I mean, he had a great shot. He played off that overhand right. He wasn't throwing the overhand right to land. He was throwing it to take the shot, especially on that last one. I knew, like, he threw the overhand right. I blocked toward the overhand right, but it didn't even hit me at all. And he was right under me right away and was able to lift me up, and I was like, God damn it. I fell for that stupid overhand right shot. As he was lifting me, I'm like, oh, fuck. So now I just got to land and, you know, be in the right position when I land. I tried to get there, and he ended up sinking in that choke. You know, he didn't surprise me at all. I knew he was going to come in with great wrestling. I knew I could beat him in striking with how much I've been working my striking, and I definitely show that I think when I was on my back in the first round, I was a little too gist-oriented. I'll relate it to my Lee Morrison fight. I'm going to give Lee Morrison mad props here because he was definitely a better wrestler than JP was tonight, and he was able to control me better. But JP did have great wrestling tonight, and I give props to him as well.
When he went to stand up and you slapped in that crucifix or tried to, you know, how good did that feel when you felt that starting to go that direction? Were you like, yes, and just it popped out, or did you feel like you ever even had it?
You know, I was pushing for it. I tried to get it as hard as I could, and I was like, but he had real flexible shoulders. And I don't know if you guys saw it, but when I did that that arm triangle sweep from the bottom, his shoulder had actually popped out in that point. And when I locked up the arm triangle in the first round, I couldn't finish it because his shoulder was popped out at the time. And he was fighting. It created just enough space to where he could breathe. So, and I could feel that his shoulder was popped out. So I had to release that. But, you know, he has super flexible shoulders. So when I had his leg or his arm locked with my legs, I was trying to get some elbows in on him before he flipped out. He was able to really bend his shoulders and get out of there. So I was like, oh, man, that was a good position. I could knock him out here.
So I got to ask you, how different was it fighting in an American crowd on that big of a stage versus fighting in, you know, Pancrase on a big stage?
Yeah, the crowd, every 30 seconds I was hearing someone yell, let's go, Ginger, knock him out, Ginger. You know, in Japan, it's just not like that, you know. They're super quiet unless you do something good. Big slam or a big shot, you know, then they'll go, oh, but then they're super quiet again. So it's a little different, but, you know, I fought in the States for most of my fights. I only had 2 fights over in Japan, so I was used to it already.
Yeah, you know, it's fighting for access, though, I think is just remarkably a great accomplishment for you. But, I mean, think about it. Tonight, you know, what, 30, 40 million homes watched you perform. You know how many new fans you gained, you know, out there? And you might end up getting a lot of them calling you the Ginger this or that. But, I mean, you gained a shit ton of fans by your performance tonight worldwide.
You know, that's a great thing. I do this for myself. You know, there's something that is my dream job. It's my ultimate goal in life is, you know, to make it on the big stage, be a world champion, be the best. But I also do it for the fans. You know, I do it for everyone who supports me, everyone who's been behind me throughout my whole career, and even the new fans coming on now. Like tonight after the fight, I had multiple kids come up and want autographs, and that's just an unreal feeling to have. People come up to you and want your autograph and want to be part of, you know, want to know who you are and sit there and want to talk to you and tell you good job no matter what happens. So, you know, that's a great thing. I love it. And, you know, this sport is such an amazing sport and we have such amazing fans who live vicariously through us. So, you know, I got to give it up to them. They're great fans and I love it.
Well, let me be the first to throw it out there. Mr. John Frisco. You know, Madhouse loves you. I think you should do Pac Northwest versus San Pablo, Brazil, and ship them boys down there to fight down there. Let them get the fans down there. And do it during the wintertime so they have a nice vacation.
Yeah, that would be great. For sure.
You don't want to go down there in June when it's beautiful where you're from.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh shit, man, like, you know, I gotta say I'm very proud of you, brother. And I know that, you know, as fans we can say what we say. As a fighter, you have a heart that is set a certain way to, you know, it just runs that away. And I'm serious, dude, I think you did great tonight, man. And I know you want to go enjoy the rest of your night, so I'll let you go. Do you want to give any shout out to any of your sponsors or anything, man?
Yeah, I got to thank everyone all my fans. I had a viewing party tonight back in my hometown of Newport, Washington. I got to thank everyone who went out to that, showed their support, even though I didn't get, you know, the outcome I wanted. You guys are still there supporting me from back home, and I love all you guys for coming out and doing that. I also got to thank Relentless Sports Management because, you know, without them, I wouldn't be where I'm at now. And I know that they're always behind me no matter what. I also got to thank fightforsomething.ca. They're a great shirt company. They made me my own signature shirt. They've done awesome things with me, and I appreciate all the support from them. Like Sonny Wheels, Rolling Big Power, Mass Suit, Intensity Nutrition, DominantGround.com, Clench Custom Mouth Guards, hooking me up, protecting my grill. Even though I didn't get hit a lot tonight, it's always nice to know that I got someone good protecting my mouth. And so many more sponsors that I have, I just can't remember right now. You know, it's been a rough night for me, so. And thank you guys for having me on tonight.
Hey, Flank, you know, Carl, back in the day, and me, and the whole team that we have now worldwide, we've always supported your career. We've always thought you deserved this shot, and I'm glad you took it. And I can't wait to see you back again, man, brother. You go enjoy the rest of tonight. Hang out with Pat Miletich, you lucky bastard. And we'll talk to you soon, brother. You know that.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks, guys.
Well, I guess everybody else is tied up right now. Lepaki seems to be masturbating a guy off in the corner over here. So and I think it's kind of weird. Like, at least Chris Gregory's hanging out with me. We know he's not doing that.
Shut up. Shut up, dummy.
Man,
folks, to watch some fights.
Okay, folks, hour one, we had John Doomsday Howard. We had Dave Kershane, Daniel Swain, Pat Miletich. We had Lepaki. Yes, folks, he is here right now, live with you. Can you believe that? I think that might be the coolest out of everyone. Look at that.
You're finally catching on. You're finally catching on.
So, I think, Jason, you're going to... Is that you? Yeah. Jason, welcome to the show. You just missed both your... How you doing, brother? You have had a great night as a company.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
Daniel Swain came out and showed the world who he is. He lost, but he came out and showed in round one and two that he is somebody that you're going to have to pay attention to. Then Kershane
stop you right there. Let me stop you right there, Skip, about Daniel. Daniel has nothing to be ashamed of, bro. He got caught in a bad position. It is what it is. We put it behind us and we move forward. That kid went out there and fought his heart out and demonstrated to the world, to people who he is. And I have nothing negative or you know, nothing to say bad about his performance. He went out there and put it all on the line and fought his heart out. I can't ask for anything more. That kid's such a great kid. He has a bright future. And, you know, I'm looking forward to a lot of good things to come with him.
Yeah, and then another one of your fighters got his first victory in the XFC, and that's Dave Kershane. He went out and put on an amazing clinic called Spar Time with Dave. Then you turn around and the dragon. Now, let's be honest. I want folks out there to know, maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, Jason was like, dude, I'm bringing this kid in. He's a killer. And this kid has performed over and over again, and now he is a champion.
I'm very proud of the performance that Dave put on tonight. And Dragon, you know, like, especially, you know, with Dave, you know, I had a circumstance come up where I didn't get to watch all the fights through, and I'm going to watch them tomorrow on a replay over at a friend's house that DVR'd it for me, you know. But from what I understand, Dave was trying to make a statement, man, because apparently, from what I was told, he would put Trevino down, and he didn't even go to the ground, like, get back up, you know. And I think, in all honesty, and I think John noticed it, he's putting the lightweight division on notice what he's coming for, man. It might not be in his next fight, but sometime in 2014, we're going to get to earn a crack at Scott Holtzman. So I hope Scott paid attention to that, you know. And as far as Davis and Dragon, Ribeiro, everything that I was told about his coach, because he's a part of Sapo Fight Team before I signed him, you know, the dedication, hard work. Like, a lot of people don't know this, but this kid used to ride a bus in Brazil 3 hours to and from the gym to get his work in, to get him to where he is. And then, you know, started off the year rough, you know, didn't have the American debut that we wanted to have. We made some changes, got picked up by the XFC, and now he's a world champion and holds a featherweight belt. I'm so proud of this kid, and I have nothing, you know, tonight just was a great night for me, personally, you know. And I'm proud, and I've bluntly said it tonight on social media, I am so fucking proud of all three of these gentlemen and the performances they put on tonight.
My mic was muted.
Did you send hookers to their hotel room?
Do what now? Send hookers to their hotel room? you know, the other thing, too, talking about hotel rooms. Did Dave tell you what happened to him last night when he was trying to get his IV?
Yes,
well,
and
I don't know.
Do...
They got stabbed about 17 times.
I just want
to. Here's the funny part, bro. Here's the funny part. They went through hell and back to get Dave hydrated. He goes next door, and Adam took care of fucking Davison. Time, bro. It was just like a baby, smooth as a baby's butt, and he took care of it. And Dave went through all that shit fucking for I don't know how long. But he didn't give a fuck. He was having fun with it.
Let me just state that as a fact. You can call me the fucking Peyton Manning, the fucking hitting man. That would have happened.
You can hit any vein you want.
Anything
blue vein, red vein,
up, down,
yellow vein, main vein, blue vein.
Oh, shit. That's some funny stuff.
Jason, any of the other fights stick out to you tonight?
What's that?
Anybody not with RSM stick out to you tonight?
You know, the only two fights I got to see before I had to step out, I saw the Dom Steele Ryan Thomas fight, and I watched Daniel fight with J.P. Reese. And then I had to go pick up my drunk-ass sister from a bar because she couldn't drive.
That Steele decision was a joke.
What's that?
Ryan Thomas got robbed, we all think.
Yeah,
I mean... I was really surprised by the 230-27. I didn't think that, but honestly, I thought if Dom did get it, it was going to be a split. I didn't expect the unanimous, you know? I don't know. All I can tell you is this, is that Michigan Athletic Commission by far is the worst athletic commission I've ever dealt with. For 2.5 weeks, it was nothing but a nightmare. You know, 2.5-3 weeks leading up to this. And then... Like, Skippy knows about this situation. 5:10 yesterday, I get a call from my printer telling me that he can't convert the fucking files for
these guys'
banners.
Hey,
and
I got...
I'm like, you're just calling me now to tell me this? The
no,
girl that does my mock-up and does Photoshop for me is at work, so she's not like she can just go to her computer and, you know, and change the files for me and send it to me. I literally went on a Warped Tour scramble for 24 hours to make sure that all these guys' banners showed up before their fights.
And
literally, the banners
showed
up at 6:30 today, tonight.
Hey, I want to tell you, I knew that story before the show, and I watched, and I saw their banners. And first of all, Clench, your logo looked bad fucking ass. Second of all, the banners looked great, dude. They did. They looked great. So, whoever the...
You know,
thanks for taking care of that, Jason. I really appreciate it.
Always, Jeff. You know? I always fucking support Clinch, you know? I mean, you got a quality mouth guard, man. The best way to protect your grill, unless you want to get your teeth knocked out, get Clinch.com.
Bam! Commercial!
This is my night. I feel like I won tonight.
Dude, why won't Tim let me post the fucking answer to the question?
Dave.
I just want to win.
dude, Dave gave you the greatest sponsor shout-out I think I've ever seen in an MMA fight. Straight up. That was some beautiful love that Krishane showed you after the fight.
They did a post-fight interview with him?
Oh, dude, you haven't seen it yet. He pulled out his mouth guard, put it in front, and was like, check this shit out, motherfuckers.
They brought Miletic to interview him in the cage? I didn't know that.
No, dude, there was no interview, bro.
Oh. You're talking about when he went on the road, so I'm sure he fucking OCD, hyperactive, warp speed Dave, which I love. He's a great guy, man.
Dude, on TV, you know, after, they're walking out of the cage and the camera's following them, like, he sat down, actually after the fight, I'm sorry, when he goes to sit down in the corner, and he pulled out his mouth guard and put it right in the camera because the camera's right in his face, and he held the mouth guard there and then mouthed something and then was, like, pointing at, hey, this is my mouth guard company, check it out, motherfucker, kind of thing, you know? A lot of that, dude, it was a perfect commercial. Dude, he's on a roll, dude. He nailed it with the fucking Alchemy Water commercial earlier.
Yeah. I'm excited about that deal, you know, for 2014 for these guys, you know? And then I finally can get Limo to fucking stop sending me pictures of him buying bottled water, talking about it'd be great if I had a water sponsor. But that deal just got finalized. I'm really excited and looking forward to working with these guys. I know that these guys are going to enjoy their products that they get every month for the next 12 months. So I'm happy. You know, I didn't do it for me. I did it for the athletes, you know.
Dave was amazing. Everybody do that. That was insane. He took the mouth guard out. On one side, I put his fiance and kids' names on it. He pointed at the fiance and kids' names and held it up to the camera. And then he turned around and pointed to the clinch on it. And he shook it at the camera and put it back in his mouth. And I was like, oh, my God. This is fucking so cool. He's a man. Anybody who wants to invest in a fighter, invest in Dave Krishane. Hands down. He's a humble man. He never forgets. I'm extremely.
Did I lose you guys or am I still there?
You're still here. Shit.
Why didn't you go to Michigan, dude? I thought you were rolling to Michigan, bro.
I thought you said you told. Hey, hold on. Yeah, you told me you had a snow bunny up in Michigan. What the fuck?
Yeah, well, about a week ago, I had to replace my hot water heater. So I make a choice. Fix things in my house or go on a little fucking freeze my ass off vacation. I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to fix things.
First of all, you live in 85-degree weather year-round and next to an ocean.
Yeah, take a cold shower once in a while.
Yeah, you don't even need it. Dude, you can go out to the ocean and get a drink of water whenever you want. You don't even need a fucking water heater. Second of all, you got snow bunny. That means you're about to get you a brand new pelt coat. You know, well, all you got to do is catch that thing. You got yourself a nice little coat. I don't understand why you didn't say, hey, screw it. I'm going to go watch Great Fight and murder a rabbit.
Sometimes we have. I got an answer for you.
No, straight up.
Quit pussyfooting around.
Hey, straight up. I lived on the beach for like 6 months, and I took a bath every day in the ocean with Irish Spring. You don't need a water heater, bro.
I did when it was leaking water all through my garage.
That's a garage. You don't live in a garage.
You just, turn the water faucet off. Stop the water from running to it.
And then what you do is, right before you leave the house, you rob yourself, get on a plane, and leave. And then when you come back, you call the police and say, I've been robbed and they broke my fucking water heater.
This fucking guy is bitching about a water heater. I came back from my MMA trip last weekend, and the fucking, my pipes froze underneath my house and broke. Fuck that shit. I lived without water for 2 days. 2 days without water, son. Fuck that.
I love getting my balls busted by the Rogue Show. That shit's money.
Hey, see my talk.
Dependable. It's consistency. You gotta like that.
Hey, if nothing.
I've been over two.
Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I'll tell you what, though. When I got the call today and telling me the banners were printed, were done and being picked up from the deck from the FedEx print shop, I felt like fucking Ari Gold, man. Like when you see Ari fucking snap to get shit done, literally that's what the last 24 hours was. And straight up had an Ari Gold moment.
I'm sorry, who's Ari Gold?
Come on, bro. You've never watched Entourage?
He's not. Skippy was locked away, you know, for a while. You know what I mean? He doesn't know what the fuck Entourage is.
Skippy, you need to go watch Entourage, bro, and then you'll learn about Ari Gold, man. That motherfucker
is awesome. Dude, look, you want to watch a movie about the business and how to work in the business? What the fuck is that?
Hey, guys, I got to go. I'm going to take this call. And,
okay.
Have a good night, brothers. I'll talk to you soon.
Later.
All right. Later.
Who was that?
Who was that? Hold on a second. Chris Craig.
Who the fuck was it?
Chris.
Yeah, I'm here.
Lepaki.
Yeah.
Jason. Clint.
I don't know who it was.
Yeah, that's who it was.
Oh. Peace, Jason. I know, he's just going down to the 7-Eleven to get his dirty.
He's going to find you, Pat Nancy.
Speaking about hot water here, we live in Florida. What the fuck is that?
I don't know.
Meet Pat Nancy, dude.
Take
that's all
shower,
he's doing.
Motherfucker. Shit.
Hey, speaking of shit, don't forget, it goes down. Oh, blah! Challenge 92. Tomorrow. Check it out.
That was the worst lead up ever. He's like, speaking of shit. Speaking of shit.
You got to say that, okay. that cage door, yes, roll call, young lady. That cage door, I think every cage door should have to slide up.
I want to see it. I guess I haven't paid attention to it, but I need to see it because I want to see how dangerous that thing looks.
Dude, it's a door. It just slides straight up, man. I think it's better. It's just cooler. It's like Star Trek. They walk up and it goes, ring, and it lifts right up. And you walk in.
God. Dude, I just watched Dave's knockout probably like 20 times just now. This zombie prophet gif is awesome.
That dude's awesome, man.
Don't forget, I'm
uploading my...
What the fuck?
Don't forget, folks.
What are we not forgetting?
Hey, folks, don't forget to go check out Dare Fight for the Joe Ray documentary. I just posted
it. Yeah,
I
got that. I'm watching that after the Rogue Show.
Fuck yeah, dude. I started watching it. I got up to where he starts eating that spinach salad, and everybody's eating real food around him. Fucked up.
I have a spinach salad every morning.
I do too, but I have to, you know, roast my spinach.
I don't. I don't need the iron, so I just do mine raw.
Yeah.
I have like 3 cups of spinach every morning in my shake. In my green monster.
I prefer Dunkin' Donuts.
Dunkin' Donuts.
Why? Why? Dude, you have massive shits when you have these things for breakfast.
Fuck. I got
it. You know, and they just flow out, bro. Like, there's no strain or anything. If you start incorporating a green monster or two a day into your diet, man, you'll love life.
Well,
you will absolutely love life.
Hey, speaking of loving life, I want to say, dude, all you fans out there that fucking love the MMA life, tomorrow we still got so much going down. You got Grand Combate Entertainment. You got Gladiator Arena, Bama 14, Clash MMA 8. You got Sparta Combat League, Excessive Force, Dead Serious 9, State Line Warriors. What up? There's some other stuff going on. Oh, XFE 32, Summit Fight League, Heat 29, Shooto. Today, Shooto Switzerland went down, and I didn't even see that. I missed it. I was so pissed.
World Series of Fighting.
Oh,
Central
yeah.
American.
Good call. Good call. That's going to be a great card.
So, okay, so Brian Green, I guess, stepped up, like, what, yesterday to fight or something like that? Like the day before yesterday to fight, and he's fighting Mayorga's trainer, one of Mayorga's trainers. And he promises that he's going to keep it on the feet.
He's going
so
down
let's
there
see what happens. Do what?
He's going to go down there and fight?
He lives in Nicaragua, dude. He lives there.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, Brian Green lives in Nicaragua, yeah.
Oh,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he had he challenged Mayorga because he wanted to fight Mayorga, and I guess Mayorga came to his gym and like, you know, brought the national news and everything to his gym, but was really respectful. I guess like he helped Brian Green get publicity and shit down there, so he was kind of cool, you know, but accepted the challenge. But he said you had to fight my coach first. So Brian Green is probably going to destroy this dude tomorrow night or whenever it is. And then fight Mayorga after that. And you know he'll beat Mayorga. Just saying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but that's a big payday. That's a big payday in front of a lot of people. And I'll tell you what, that's a – dude, you don't – I mean, we watched the last event with them on it, with Mayorga on it and Ortiz. And it was a fucking insane crowd. They had militaries, like, guys with guns and shit all lined around when Mayorga was coming out. It was crazy.
Wow, Jason Pittman versus Josh McPherson.
Pittman all day.
I don't know. I'm going to think about that fight. I'll let you know.
Right now, from the last time I saw McPherson, which was the Whittler fight, Oh, shit. There we go. Hey! What's up, Tim?
Ho! Yo, what's going on, brother?
I didn't know that
Tim,
was Tim.
Sometimes Skippy's on full bozo patrol, bro.
Skippy had me on hold for like 45 minutes right now.
Wow.
Guys, I'm trying to give out a free pay-per-view to this World Series of Fighting Central America. So since Mayorga's headlining the card, I think we should go with some Mayorga boxing trivia since he doesn't have much MMA trivia to go with. So Mayorga won two fights in a row in 2003 against one fighter. Both fights were for the Super WBA Junior Middleweight title and WBC Junior Middleweight title. Somebody can call in Matt Lapazzi with the answer. I had to delete the answer off Facebook because he went and decided to answer the question upon himself on Facebook for everybody to see. If somebody calls in for that cut with that answer, they're going to get a free pay-per-view to the World Series of Fighting Central America tomorrow night, courtesy of GSL and the Rogue Show.
And they better fucking thank me.
I guarantee somebody is going to Google right fucking now. They're like, okay, let's Google this shit. Hurry up.
Why would they go to Google when they should just message me? If somebody was smart, they would just message me and ask me what the fucking answer was.
It's simple.
Wow.
You just go on BoxRec, MMA fans. It's like, boxing's version of Sure Dog or the Underground?
Well, first of all, I think it's more of a accurate site. The Underground is horrible. It is horrible with the records. They're fucking ridiculous.
It cracks me up when the Undergrounds and Sure Dog have different records for the same fighter.
Yeah, it's crazy. I tend to go to Tapology for some reason.
But at least they
have
amateur
records.
Well, actually, I was on this one fighter's Sure Dog today, and they had him fighting amateur fights after his pro debut. I forget what fighter it was. But I was just sitting there cracking up because he made his pro debut in, like, 2007, and they had two amateur fights in 2008 or something like that.
That sounds about right. That sounds right.
I mean, logistically it's impossible, but I guess you can do whatever you put your mind to.
Hey, hold on a second. We were short on assholes,
so I brought my hand.
What? I can't hear
you. That person's breaking up.
Jeff, it's been 10 minutes. You can talk.
Hey, screw all that shit, dude. I got a better thing. Here we go. Oh,
yo.
Hey, welcome to the show. Let me welcome somebody else. Live from Bangkok. We got Ben Stark with us. What's up, killer?
What's going on?
Welcome to the show. It has been fucking insane tonight. And somebody's got a stereo jamming and needs to turn that shit off.
That sounds ridiculous. Why do I hear that? I thought you guys were professionals.
Dude. What the fuck is this? Good. There we go. Hey, did you bring a buddy with you tonight?
I'm giving him the address. He will be calling in momentarily, I hope.
Okay. Well,
the address.
Well, we will wait for him. Hamlet, welcome to the show. Ben, welcome to the show. First hour, we were rocking it, talking some MMA that went down tonight. Now it's more about sex, drugs, and rock and roll, I guess.
I like rock and roll.
Who is Hallman and Raddick fighting this weekend? They posted on Facebook they're leaving the country to go fight. Where are they fighting at?
I didn't know they were fighting.
I know they're going to Russia. I don't know who or what or nothing. Last time I talked to Benji, he was fishing for salmon in, like, Alaska.
Yeah, he posted on Facebook the other day him and Hallman are leaving, and to go fight. I don't know. I didn't hear anything about it.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't talked to Hallman in ages. So, your guess is as good as mine, bud.
Well,
so what was the topic right before I called
in? On Friday Night Fight.
Okay, we got it one at a time. Lopaki, what'd you say? Okay. Fuck you. Ben, what did you say?
I said Hallman just signed a fight on Friday Night Fights up until in January.
Oh.
In January.
Did
he?
I don't know if he signed yet. I know that it's out there. It's supposed to be.
Whose show is that?
That Battle of the Bell. He's boxing Frankie Orr.
Oh, okay. That's nice.
Okay, now, Ben, what did you say?
I asked what you guys were talking about when I called in.
Fuck, I don't remember.
Well, here, I got something you can talk about. Dana White just made a public statement that he didn't even know 1FC was still in business.
That's some bullshit, sleight of hand fucking crap from them. I disagree with that. Dude, he knew the fuck they were there. Come on, man. You're telling me the same guy who coaches his champion is the CEO or CFO or whatever, a matchmaker, whatever. Jeff, what's his actual title?
Matt Hume?
Yeah.
He's basically their commissioner.
He's a matchmaker. Yeah. He's like a part of the business structure. He's a C-something-O.
He's a VP.
Yeah,
and he trained.
He's Dana's position there.
Yeah, and he trains Dana's champion. Don't fucking tell me he doesn't know about that organization.
Well, it could very well be that Dana is very much like a Vince McMahon, in that Vince McMahon doesn't know shit about other wrestling events until his people go, hey, you should probably look at this. And he goes, oh, okay, give me a 5-minute presentation. You know, because Dana White is very much the Vince McMahon of the UFC, so it's quite possible.
Yeah, well, that's true, but I'm sorry, you know, 1FC has been making huge waves in the last year and noise all over. I just don't see how he couldn't know, especially with the fact that he has to deal with that, you know, his coach and the gym. I guess he maybe doesn't actually deal with that shit. He's just the mouth of the organization. I guess what Silva would actually be dealing with the coach, huh?
I would have thought so.
Yeah, one of those two. Ugh. So, anything going good down over in Thailand tonight, this weekend? Any good MMA over there?
Well, unfortunately, MMA in Thailand is still quite slow. Since the last Dare event, things are really on the come up. I just got rumor there's a very wealthy French backer who wants to put on a show in Pattaya, like 6 big shows a year. And as it turns out, Dare fighter Moise Rimbon will be his matchmaker, since I think he's the only one here who speaks French. So I've been talking to him, but that show's not going to happen for a couple more months. Dare is finalizing and putting together their True Vision television package, which will go into effect, I believe, in January. So that's going to be hopping. Come January, there's a couple shows that were shut down last year that are supposed to start back up. There was a monthly event called Samui Fight Night, which was held on the island of Samui. The arena that they had their events at, apparently the promoter's license had expired, so they had to skip their last 4 shows. But the Samui guys have apparently decided that 2014... they're not going to do a monthly show. They're going to do 4 to 6 shows in the year and pool the money from the small monthlies to make bigger, like, you know, quarterlies.
Okay.
So there's a lot of stuff coming up, just not happening right now.
But you could definitely find a good Thai event on a Friday night. Well, I guess it's Saturday night for you.
You could find a good Muay Thai event on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday at Lumpini, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at Raja Damnern. If you're, like, in Phuket, you're going to jump between Bangla Stadium, Patong Stadium, and Suet Stadium. You can see Muay Thai every night in at least 2 different places.
Oh, see, that's what I'm talking about, man. You know, we watched a card tonight that's usually pretty good. And tonight was just an average. There was a couple of good fights on it, but it was kind of a bummer because, like, some of the fights are full rules, you know, Muay Thai rules, and some weren't. And, you know, it's just lackluster a bit tonight. But at least they did play the music and they did do the Y Crew and all that. I mean, they kept it as traditional as possible, but it just was not as a high impact event as they have put on or I'm used to seeing overseas.
Yeah. What's popping off on international Muay Thai, though? Like, I'm totally out of touch with, like, the U.S. and European Muay Thai scene.
Well, right now you have Siam for amateurs, and then for pros, obviously Lion Fights is the leader right now in America, but then you have Take On Muay Thai, and then the old school, all-time, I think, best league is Combat at the Capital in New York, which has been going on for years, and it's hosted by, it's owned by an older kickboxer from Europe in the 80s who runs that league. I'm drawing a blank on his name right now, but that right there, it's the East Coast best. But then you've got Bounded Fist, Muay Thai. They're doing pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad because, like, we don't have a strong Muay Thai scene right now here. More
That's
of the people
really
are going
unfortunate.
More of the people are going the kickboxing route or MMA.
I personally put the K1 in the same category as the Muay Thai realm. I know you don't have elbows, and I know that kind of sucks, but it's not. We're not talking American kickboxing from 1985. That's
right. That's the fucking truth. I agree. You know, we kind of classify.
Hold on. Why aren't we though? Why aren't we talking that though? That was kind
because
of fun
it's
to watch.
Terrible. Do you
it's
really
kind of fun
like?
To watch,
there's a
though.
Reason the World Combat League took a shit. Because no one wants to watch guys kickbox in pants wearing fucking shin guards and booties.
I don't know, man.
Hey, for everyone listening to join in the overtime, which is going to be in about a half hour, you need to be on the phone lines or on the Skype lines in the next 26 minutes. So you guys know, just a heads up. But as somebody who gets to really be more around the traditional Muay Thai scene, looking at what kickboxing is doing right now, why can't a good solid Thai organization from somewhere in Asia, or especially Southeast Asia, come up over here and do what Glory or Super Combat or K1's doing?
Why can't a Thai promoter or a Thai fighter?
Thai promoter.
Well, primarily in Thailand, they don't pay that much, to be honest.
Okay.
These guys, like, will own a building, only have events in that building. It's almost set up to be like when you take your kid to Little League. You know, every Tuesday, my son plays baseball. That's it. Every Tuesday, we go to Muay Thai. Every Tuesday, we have a Muay Thai event kind of thing.
Now, see, I guess that's why we see guys over there with, you know, records. Yeah, with records that are, you know, in the 300 fight range, you know, because
yeah.
Maybe, you know, they're not pulling in 4 or 5 G's a fight, you know.
Is there any kind of mandatory suspensions or anything, Ben?
Not that I'm aware of, honestly. I personally think there should be, but, there is medical staff, there's medical crew, but when you're dealing with adults on the higher levels, they obviously get better care. But when you're dealing with the tuk-tuk driver that needs an extra, 1,000 baht, you know, to feed his family that week, he's coming back no matter what. When I was spending time at Tiger when I was in Phuket, I was lucky enough to be able to go to the arenas quite frequently, like with the fighters, either as a warm-up guy or as a film crew or just, you know, a friend that they snuck in. And I would watch. I had a two-week span where I was there probably 12 to 13 out of the 14 days, and I saw three of the same people fight every single day.
No shit.
Damn, that would be crazy.
That's what I'm talking about.
Like, and one of them was like a kid, like a 7-8-year-old kid. And I would go as far as to say that, you know, the 7-year-olds that he's fighting aren't hitting as hard, so he's not taking as much traumatic brain trauma, et cetera, et cetera. Not so bad. Another one was like a 15-year-old kid who I watched get into a war every night, just pummeled and pummeling, you know? And then one adult tuk-tuk driver who literally, like, came in with his, like, tuk-tuk kit on, went upstairs, changed, had a beer, drank some booze, jumped in the ring, took a shower, changed, and got back in his tuk-tuk.
Hell yeah. That's legit right there.
Yeah. But now, let me ask you, when you're over there and you're like, let's say a guy grabs the title, what are the more, I guess, important titles? Because there's so many different stadiums. I mean, is there a hierarchy?
I'm sure there is. I honestly am only familiar with, like, Phuket and Bangkok. And even within Bangkok, I only know the two big ones.
Okay.
But, like, you recently had, on the King's birthday, which was, like, last week, you had Lumpini's last big show. Lumpini is the quintessential Muay Thai arena. It's the biggest and best known in the country. And it's closing in March.
For the Americans to understand, is that kind of like boxing at Madison Square Gardens, or?
Yeah, I guess. If you fought in Lumpini Stadium, or you held the Lumpini title, you're pretty much known as like a legend. You can get a coaching job anywhere in the world being a Lumpini champion. It's really the highest honor. Now, they have different types of champions. They have, like, one-day tournament champions, and they have the arena or stadium champion. A lot of the stadium champ, like Raymond Deckers was a Lumpini Stadium champion, I believe. John Nutt would be much better with the names, because I always fuck them up, so I don't really like to even attempt it, because I feel I'd be insulting.
Hey, do they, remember when Kit Cope went over there and they just, it wasn't gloves, he kind of wore that rope, do they still do those kind of tie fights anymore?
It's called Kachuk. There's a large Thai event which is done like much like Lion Fight here called Thai Fight. There's another one called Max Muay Thai. Max Muay Thai is run by Buakaw, which is strange because Buakaw was still contracted to fight for Max Muay Thai for a Thai Fight when he opened Max Muay Thai. Nonetheless, Thai Fight has like a weekly or monthly event. But they recently started a reality show where they just brought in only foreign fighters, and they're all fighting Kachuk, all fighting with the hemp rope, and they're making them train kind of like old style, like kicking baby banana trees and shit, which I think is a horrible idea, but they're doing it. And it's like a weekly reality show.
Dude,
that's kind of sweet, though.
It's pretty crazy to watch because it's bloody as shit. And then you get, like, the holiday, like, the Songkram. Songkram is the New Year. And they always have, in these small towns up north, they have, like, Thailand versus Burma matches. And, like, half the card will be Muay Thai, like, gloves and everything. And the other half will be Burmese boxing. And half the time, these guys don't even wear the rope. It's either bare knuckles with wraps, or it's just cloth wraps, or it's just bare knuckles.
Awesome.
Now, with Burmese boxing, you have a little bit different rules. Like, you can kick to the groin, you can headbutt. At one point in time, I even heard that it was a 3-knockout rule, not a 3-knockdown rule. Like, you got to get 10 counted 3 times to lose. I don't think that's – I hope that's not real. But I've seen some fights where I was like, that's 10 seconds. And they're fighting again. What the fuck, you know?
Hey, because our culture is so much different. We, with those young kids that they were just, they watched that video recently they played on about those young ones. They're young, like 7 years old, and they're fighting professional already to help support the family. Like, it's socially accepted over there where our society freaks out about it, you know?
Hey, let me just jump in real quick. Hey, Brian, I think it was your name, this last caller who just called in. I don't know why I couldn't hear you. All I could hear is the show. If you call back in or post in that post with Tim, I'll make sure that you win that iPay-per-view. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ben.
What was the question? Oh, the kids. I don't know. The thing is, there's no real amateur here. All the amateur fights that happen are really for foreigners because kids here are fighting at 7 years old, you know?
Right.
I think it's kind of crazy that they allow elbows. But even then, not really, because they're still clumsy kids. They're not really going to land it and cause a cut. I watched, like, 3 kid fights a night every time I went to the stadiums in Phuket, and I didn't see one with blood. Not a single one.
Yeah.
What bothered me, like, there was 2 major fights. One was, like, a little Muslim Thai kid versus a little Buddhist Thai kid, and the crowd was absolutely rabid in their betting. Like, I didn't think they bet on the kids. I thought they were like, you know, morally, we shouldn't bet on children. That's weird.
Oh, no, they were betting. Oh. I watched that video.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. They were more rabid for those kids fighting than they were for, like, you know, adult fights. It was wild. And then I saw another kid fight, which kind of bothered me. This dad brought his, like, 10 or 11-year-old son from Norway. And this kid had, like, 3 Norwegian titles, right? And they put him in a ring with a Thai kid who was obviously 6, okay? The kid was literally head tall to the Norwegian kid's nipple, right? And this Norwegian kid fought like an adult. Like, he fought like a man. And he brutalized this little 6-year-old kid. It was disgusting. And then pranced around the ring doing his, like, Hulk flex, like Hulk Hogan, and fucking, like, climbing on ropes and, like, yelling. He even stood over this little kid and, like, was pointing his finger in his face yelling at him. Like, you're 11. I hope you're hit by a fucking car. Your parents are terrible people, and you should be punished, as should they.
Hey, real quick, what we got to take it before we finish. Hey, I got somebody on the line to answer the question. Mayorga was beat twice in 2003 for both WBC junior middleweight title and WBC.
Oh, he won them both. He won them both, you dummy.
Who did he beat?
Vernon Flores.
That is the correct answer. You said your name's Brian Paul, correct?
Yes, sir.
I will make sure Tim hooks
hey,
you up with a paper.
Hey, Brian, BP, just Facebook me with your email address that you have on your GFL account, and I'll put that credit on there.
Okay.
All right, brother.
All right, thank you.
No problem.
Hey, congratulations. Thanks
is
for calling on the
sleeping?
Show.
What was that?
No, I don't know. That I'm not sleeping. I'll be honest. I'm rolling fat joints, dude, and drinking rock stars. So I'm fucking ready to rock all night, dude. We got us another hour and 15 minutes, folks. So
1 hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, how fucking jealous am I of you? Skip, I'm going to come on to the show in the second hour because I'm going to run and get a fucking massage. That's what this gentleman tells me. I was jealous. Yeah.
Now, keep this in mind. Not only did I get a one-hour massage, it only cost me $10.
That's the bullshit. That's Obamacare fucking everything up.
Did you go cliff diving today, or was that just John?
Oh, no, that's John. John's down in Phuket taking care of some business. I'm still in the Bangkok.
That's the place to be.
So where are there better chicks at, Bangkok or Phuket?
Well, this really comes into play as to what you're interested in. Do you want a girl with a real job and an education?
Ladyboy.
You can get ladyboys anywhere, though they're much more prevalent in Bangkok. In Bangkok, it's a big city, so people are like, they just don't seem to give a fuck. When I was in Phuket, you only saw them on the stripper roads, on the hooker roads.
Okay. So hold on.
Back to the smart chicks, and let's go back to that angle.
In the South or in the very North, not saying there are not educated people, because there are, but you're going to find much more in the city, because people will come here and go to college and then stay here to work to send money back home, right? Whereas the people that are still in the small town, they might be there for work, but for the most part, it's much less intelligent labor. It's much more manual labor, you know? Like, they're working for the guy who runs the place. They're not the guy who runs the place. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you get into style. Like, the girls in the South tend to be darker. Well, the girls outside of the city tend to be darker because the families tend to work manual outdoor labor. I personally like dark. Not a problem for me. You get into the city, Bangkok, you see girls walk around outside with umbrellas just because it's sunny, because they see dark people as being poor and having to work.
Yep.
Right? Also, I like a girl that dresses relatively girly and wears high heels. In the South, the only girls I saw wear high heels were prostitutes, foreigners, and occasionally the local girl who was going on a fancy date with a foreigner. That's it.
Hey, Ben, I want to introduce you. referee, Abu Dhabi badass, fucking all around cool motherfucker, Anthony Hamlett is the other guy on the show with us right now.
I know Anthony Hamlett. I worked for the Absolute Fighting Championship. Anthony Hamlett fought for us a bunch of times. There was actually one point where a girl I was dating was like 6 foot two and standing behind him, and he turns, looks at her, and goes, "Am I blocking your view?" It made us all laugh quite a bit.
That's funny.
Also, if I remember correctly, Anthony Hamlett is from West Side, correct? No, that's Anthony Hamilton. Anthony Hamlett is in Washington, correct?
I'm in Tri-Cities.
Yeah.
Fuck, what a small world.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've told you, Skip, man, I've been doing this shit for a long time, brother. I've been all over.
It's time for you to shoot over and go spend a couple weeks training.
Are you finally going to put your dentures on the nightstand then and hang it up or what?
No, I'm trying to have fun.
Hey, why don't you go over and train for a couple weeks at EMAC with Ben and get out of the fucking cold weather?
Tell you what, this time next year I'll be living in Florida, so I'll be all right. I'm moving back down.
Where in Florida are you going?
Back to Panama City, Florida, man. That's where I lived before I was stationed down there with the Air Force.
Cool.
We've been keeping an eye on the weather. We're sitting over here in the teens and low 20s, and we've been keeping an eye on the weather down there. It's 74 all week.
Yeah. Man, Florida is beautiful right now from what I hear.
Yeah.
Yeah, so is Thailand.
Yeah, exactly.
Sterling.
Hey, where is that new AKA gym located at in?
AKA will be in Phuket.
Okay.
I'm not sure exactly where, as I'm not super familiar with like the regions of the island. But it'll be right in the thick of the competition between Tiger Muay Thai, Phuket Top Team, and the other like super MMA gyms in the country.
But didn't you just, I know on one of the episodes of Live from Bangkok, you were kind of breaking down that facility at Tiger. You were talking very highly of it. So, I mean, are they going to really be able to come in and compete right off the bat?
I only have amazing experiences at Tiger Muay Thai, okay?
Oh, Tiger's the shit.
It's a great place. AKA is going to be brand new with fresh faces. So the people that I personally believe that there's a good bit of loyalty in the fight business when it comes to where guys train. So I think a lot of these people that have gone to Tiger and had great experience with Tiger will continue to only go to Tiger. That being said, with the coming of AKA and just other things in the realm of Phuket, there are a lot of changes happening. Coaches leaving, staff leaving, people changing. As you know, the GM of Tiger recently put in his resignation and will be moving to Evolve in Singapore. You know, and he's one of those linchpin guys that helped make all these big names coming to Phuket and a lot of these fighters coming happen. You know? So there's a lot of people that might be just loyal to Will.
They spent a lot of money building that AKA gym, I'll tell you that right now, because they're building from the ground up. You know?
Yeah.
There's a lot they're
at
building.
At least a couple million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And from what I've seen, it looks beautiful.
You know, the sad reality is, in some people's eyes and hearts, you know, Tiger will always be where you just go.
And then where's the Fairtex gym at now?
Fairtex, okay, there's two major Fairtex. There's a Fairtex Pattaya, which is set up very much like just a beautiful resort, which I believe quite a lot just caters to, like, a fight tourist.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have Fairtex Ban Phli, which is in Bangkok, or just outside of Bangkok in Ban Phli. And that, I believe that's where they still have their high-end Muay Thai fighters. Because, well, in Pattaya, they were just getting entirely too distracted and fucking hookers a lot.
Yes. Fairtex was cool. Fairtex was cool back in the day because when you get sponsored by them, they had a rating system. They rated you on, you know, where you're at. And, you know, if you were like a UFC-type guy or WC guy, like, you'd get to go to their camps for free, whether it's the camps in California that they used to hold or the camps over in Bangkok. You just had to get yourself there, you know, which was cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I personally never really liked their gear, but it could just be because, like, I'm a big guy, and it seems to me that their stuff's made for small hands.
They're made for Thai people.
Yeah.
I mean, really, they are.
I'm a virtual giant when I walk around the street, which is awkward because I'm only like 5'10" and a half.
All their mitts, all their tie pads, everything lasts a lot longer. I've got a pair of Fairtex tie pads that I've had for 14 years. They still work. I mean, they're wore out, obviously, but they still work.
Huh.
No other brand. I mean,
I'm a fanboy for Top King and Wendy, personally.
Wendy is the best. I like Wendy.
Wendy's awesome. Man, from what it seems, Wendy was like the first big Muay Thai brand, but in the last couple of years, like with Fairtex popping up and Top King popping up, Wendy was apparently just kind of like, we're the first. We're not advertising. We're just going to fucking be Wendy. And so now everyone surpassed them in name recognition.
Right.
Now, how big of a issue, you know, here in America, obviously, you know, you got a lot of people who are brand loyal. Is it the same there? Are they very brand loyal?
In terms of the ties or people in general?
The ties.
I think the ties really, from what I've seen, they wear the gloves or the equipment that is either sponsored to them or their gym. Is someone really pissing on the show? Really? Is that happening right now?
Yeah.
No, I just ran something off of my plate.
Oh, that's too bad.
But that wouldn't be unusual for us to be pissing.
Yeah, that's true. They mostly rock what their sponsors are hooking them up with.
Yeah. I think it very much goes for most fighters. Like, but I think here a little bit more commonly is that companies would sponsor gyms as opposed to just regular singular fighters until you get a large name, and then that fighter will get his own contract. You know?
Hey, Ryan Diaz, he's coaching over there in Thailand, I think, too, isn't he? I think he's in the Philippines. He was at a Lance Gibson's gym originally back in the day, and he's over there. Matt Hume said he opened up a gym somewhere because I was talking to Hume about, you know, what would it take for me to travel with you know, with 1FC and repping and stuff, and he said, would you move over to those countries? And I said, absolutely not.
Honestly, I'm not familiar with Ryan Diaz coaching. I know Dave Manet is in Saigon.
Nice.
I know. He's been there for a while, like 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, he was in Abu Dhabi with us.
Yeah. And then you just have the majors. You got Ole Larson's gym in Ubon Ratchathani. You know, the Tiger Squad with Brian and Roger. PTT has a lobby of Abreu and the Leone brothers. You know, Adam Kayum's in Bangkok. I'm in Bangkok. And then AK will have Swick. Team Quest, I can't remember the name of their guy. I've never met him, and I kind of suck with names as is. But really, that's all the major, like, gyms that would offer, you know, foreigners positions for teaching.
Well, and I know that Team Quest, their coach, the Thailand coach, is actually now here in the state, and another coach has gone over there. Shit, I can't, God, what was his name? Dylan Fussell is he's over there now.
I'm not a real big believer in traditional Muay Thai guys trying to, you know, teach MMA guys. It's completely different, you know. It's way, way different, you know, coaching and sports. I mean, because look at freaking Dwayne Ludwig coming in there just to get a different look, how much it's affected those guys, you know?
Oh, no, I understand completely. Like, I know that striking for MMA is very different than striking for Muay Thai, but separating yourself from the MMA and really refining very specific things and then transitioning that into your own personal style to take into the fight, I think really helps in a way. If you look at, like, Nobu Yaon in Brazil, all their fighters still train in the gi. They train just Muay Thai. And then once or twice a week, they merge it all together, you know?
Yep.
To just go in and go, this is striking for MMA, you're going to lose a lot of things that might work for 60, 50, 40% of the people, they're just not doing because for either the instructor or a handful of guys, like, oh, this never really worked for me, or that's just not something I do, kind of thing. We're learning it all, learning it functionally in its traditional application, will then allow you to apply it in your own style to MMA. It's kind of how I've gone.
Well, I was told over in Thailand, you'll spend a lot of time on a bag, though. I've been told that you're going to spend a lot of time on a bag. heavy bag.
I have spent a reasonable amount of time on a bag, but always with a coach's instruction.
Right.
Instance,
yeah, exactly.
Tiger, when I was a Tiger, you showed up, you know, you did your warm-up, skipped some ropes, shadow box, whatever, and you immediately went into three rounds of Thai-style sparring, which means not Brazilian and American style where you literally try to fucking kill each other. You're honestly thinking and working very technically, just trying to make as much contact as possible with as little power as possible. Because we're talking about guys who are fighting three times a week, once a week, you know? So they don't need to spar hard. They got to fight in 3 days, every day, you know?
But that's so very true. You watch U.S. Thai fighters, and they're technically, they're not near as clean.
Right.
No.
And it's for a lack of fight and just, you're not going to expand and broaden your technical abilities when you're constantly worried about someone taking your face off. You know, in that kind of sparring environment, you can evolve technically, right? So from that, you immediately go into pad rounds. From the pad rounds, you go into the bag. After the bag, you have a rinse or take a minute, and now you go into clinching. Clinching is the longest, most intense part of your training session. Where before you get three rounds of sparring or three rounds on pads and three rounds in the bag, now you're looking at 30 to 75 minutes of just clinching.
Yeah, but that's
all you're doing is pummeling in the clinch, looking for your knees and elbows.
That's another issue that especially drives me fucking crazy about a large portion of American Thai fighters. They don't understand the true way to use the clinch and how to work the knees. They just don't. I mean, I see such sloppy clinch work here, whereas over in Thailand, I see such clean technical work done inside from the clinch, sometimes finishing guys off just from the clinch.
Yeah. I trained with a couple guys with Lom Som Krom and his coach, Pinong. These guys could darce you in the plum clinch, and it's totally legal.
Actually,
they kind of set it up more like a baseball bat choke. You know, if you remember Mark Coleman back in the day, he'd have his forearm under your neck and then lock his hands and then drop his hip in. They can do that from a vertical plumb, you know, and totally legit. If the guy passes out, they passes out. They're not looking if it's a submission or not. It's good to go. You know? And then after the clinching, then you get into, like, bag conditioning and then, like, regular conditioning. So you're looking at a 1.5 to 2.5 hour session of that's intense the whole fucking time. And two a day of those, I think, is, personally, maybe it's because I'm not all that young anymore, I think that's quite destructive. But at the same time, when I was doing that down south, my cardio, my Muay Thai, my clinch, my wrestling was never better. It was just hard waking up in the morning.
Now, that's something that, you know, I think a lot of people here don't understand is cardio in a Thai fight completely different than cardio in an MMA fight, especially the progression of the rounds and the progression of the fight, of the speed of the fight, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think people here just assume that Thai fighters, they're like, oh, dude, they got look how slow he's going, like, round one, you know, like, oh, this is boring.
Yeah, you also don't check kicks nearly as much. Thai fighters don't. They eat it and throw back.
It depends which guy you're looking at, but checking kicks fucking hurts. So a lot of the time, instead of checking the kick, they'll try to keep your hip so that your kick kind of flops. You know?
Right.
Or there's a lot of jumping out of the way and jumping back in, or pressuring in past the knee so that they get hit with the thigh. Or, like, keeping your support leg so that you kind of lose your whip action.
I was, you would think what's his name stand-up would be a little bit better. What's the dude that shaves the arrow in his chest? I thought of...
Oh, Brian Ebersole.
Oh, Ebersole?
Yeah. Yeah, his stand-up did not look good in his last fight at
Anderson
all.
Silva?
I still haven't gotten a chance to watch it, unfortunately. He has a very awkward style. He's very wrestler-centric. He's a talented striker, strange, like, as much as you would think that he has the awkward style. He trains hard as fuck. He's got good striking. He lands a lot. He just plays a very awkward game, which for some people,
yeah,
it works awesome against. And it would seem that for others, maybe not so much.
Right, right. I mean, he did not look good at all his last fight. He just got beat by a better wrestler, too. You know, he was getting kind of bullied around that fight.
I'm going to have to watch it. I have it on my computer. I just haven't gotten a chance.
Because to see him go out and put it on Holman the way he did, you know, and then to turn around and get beat up like he was, I was surprised.
Yeah. I mean, Holman's no joke either.
No.
Now, am I the only one that wished Holman fought that other coach on fucking Ultimate Fighter?
Everybody.
No.
I literally only saw the snippet where that happened, and I was like, yo, fuck that guy up. Seriously.
I think he would have. If they wouldn't have, the producers and the guys in the show, I think he would have fought that guy right there in the gym without the fucking
Absolutely. Kid. Do we... If you understood how much... Me and Dennis should have been in jail many times because of stuff that we ended up in the mess. We ended up in messes, man. Big time messes. And yeah, I have absolutely no doubt in my mind he would have fought that guy in a heartbeat. He would.
Oh,
Dennis
yeah.
is nice, though. He would have just choked him out, probably. He wouldn't even have hit him.
I didn't spend nearly as much time as Anthony has with Dennis, but Dennis did spend a couple months at ATT, you know, when Benji was there. And I know full well that Holman would fight that guy without even batting an eyelash and not giving a single fuck at all.
It's Skippy here. Here's a Holman story for you. We had some mats come up missing out of our gym, and this guy from our gym was telling me he's teaching one of the guys that we know out of his garage, and I'm like, what the hell are you guys teaching? He's like, oh, he bought some mats online. I'm like, oh, cool. And then I kind of put the stories together. You know, they're little puzzle kind of mats you just put down underneath your weights. So we go over to this guy's house, and he's not home, so we walk into his garage, and there's the mats stolen, the ones that are missing out of our gym. Well, then they like, where's Victor at? And he's like, oh, he's next door. So Holman and I go next door to get him. Oh, my goodness, bro. He's got Holman's pants on. So not only did he steal Holman's mats, he stole Holman's pants. So he gets the boots put to him. And then, in fact, we went down to the AFC down in, a couple days later. So I took the kid down to Florida to fight with stitches in his eye, man. He fought Lee Remedios. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he fought Lee on that show. So, yeah. Those are one of many stories you should see, man. I'm telling you, we've been through some. We had one of our the girls that hung out with us. Her boyfriend was speeding her coke bad, real bad, and we got wind of it. And myself and about nine of us showed up at his house, and he did not like that. The girl was related to Holman too, so it wasn't pretty for that guy.
I remember Holman telling me he had to leave Olympia to find dates because he'd ran through all the girls in Olympia.
That is great. I'll tell you, you know, though, Ben, the greatest story Hamlet ever told us is about the time that Frank Shamrock bitch slapped him.
The pink prank on Frank, man. That was me and Dennis together, yeah. He's probably never heard this one. Well, Frank was in the same hotel with us in Wenatchee, and he brought some guys to come fight our guys. It was the AMC guys versus his guys, and we were just young, playing stupid tricks. Frank was UFC champion at the time, and so we were playing, knocking on his door, messing with him, and then we knocked on the door, but we put a trash can full of water against it, so when we opened it, he opened it, it dumped water all over his feet. So myself, Ivan Salaberry, and Holman ran into one room. We were running down there. We were jumping out the window because we were on the first floor, running down the road laughing like girls. And then Ivan goes, oh, shit, my stuff. in that room because Frank booted the doors all the way in off the hinges. He was coming in the door to get us. So we go back to call him to get our stuff back, and Frank won't let it. He's not answering. I go, Ivan, the only way you're going to get your shit, bro, we got to go get it. So we go down there, and we go knock on the door. Now Frank's got his tennis shoes on. He's huffing and puffing. You don't want to mess with me. I'll fucking kill you motherfuckers. I mean, he's pissed, dude. He's fucking mad. He got, you know. So he tells Ivan, and he opens up the door. He goes, you want your shit? Come in and get it. And Ivan's like, I ain't going in there. I go, fuck that, I will. I took two steps in, and then Frank palm punched me right in the mouth. Bah! All right, I guess I won't go in. He goes, motherfucker, we're fucking you up tomorrow. That's how the whole conversation went. So, yeah, we beat the shit out of his team, though. Three of their guys fought us three, and they got the shit kicked out of them, so it was all right with us. And I got punched in the face, and oh, well.
I've heard some pretty legendary stories about Hallman's pranks on Jeff Munson.
Oh, when he put all of his furniture on the roof of his house. That was when Munson called truce.
I heard he took every single piece of furniture, the carpet, yep, and put it on the roof, plugged electricity and cable wires, a fully functional living room on his roof.
He stole Jeff's front seat out of his car. Jeff had to drive home on a milk crate.
Yeah. Okay, tell me if this one's legit. Jeff is known for, you know, just not giving a fuck. Like, you know, I trained in this shirt. I'm just going to throw it in the back seat and forget about it. And it's going to, you know,
the sticky shirts he's got,
I heard Hallman broke into his car, put a runover raccoon under the seat.
No.
And just left it there. And it.
No, no,
Jeff,
it was actually a live possum. It was live. I was around back then. It was a live possum he put in his car.
I heard it died, and Jeff had no idea for like 6 months or some shit until the flies started coming to the body. And like they were coming out of the corpse.
I don't know about that, but I guarantee you this, that I'll tell you right now, they did put a live possum in Jeff's car, though.
So fucked.
That's fucked up, man. That's a great group of guys.
Oh. We're like the big brothers around here. We will fuck with each other bigger than shit, but you can't fuck. You're not allowed to fuck with us unless you're with us. You know.
I was out with Hallman after he fought Rory Singer in the AFC.
At
an after party, and there was like a nightclub, and it was me and my girl, and we're like hanging out, or whatever. And some guy, you know, starts talking to my chick. I don't know him. Hallman just walks up to me and goes, "Who's that guy?" And I was like, "I don't know." He goes, "Do you want me to kill him?" I was like, no, man, that's cool. He goes, all right, can I fuck with him? I was like, yeah, have fun. So he has, like, one of his guys, like, with him, and he kind of sets him up so that he could push his student and hit this guy, and when the guy turns around, be like, what, bitch, kind of thing. And it just so happened the timing was that as my ex was explaining to this guy who I was and who I was with, is when Hallman hits him with this other dude, and he turns and looks, and this is when Hallman was like almost 205. He was massive, and he just sees this hulking monster of Dennis Hallman, and Hallman just goes, big ass grin, he goes, what are you going to do? And the guy just looks to the floor, he goes, I'm going to go now. He fucked up.
Oh, man. Fuck me, dude. Like, great fucking show tonight. I mean, the fans are getting more than they bargained for with this one.
You know, you guys.
I mean, I love having you on, especially you and Hamlet on at the same time. I mean, fans are eating this shit up.
I miss those old AFC shows, man. I got to sit Pat Healy down there a couple times. You know, he fought down
Pat
there
was
a few
solid
times.
Dude.
Oh yeah. That was a good show. They what's the name of the show that runs it now, though? It's a different. It's under. It's not AFC anymore.
No. AFC. What had happened was AFC was the all-time number one feeder to the UFC and Pride, right?
Right.
Not just because they were a good show, but you know there were certain connections behind the scenes and such and such. The show wasn't profitable, right? What had happened?
That's because Dan let half the damn people in for free anyways.
That might be the case. But you remember when the UFC bought WEC?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Okay.
Okay. It was a tear between AFC and WEC, which one the UFC was going to buy. And either they were going to go with both and then kind of bailed on it, or they just decided to go with WEC. So after the AFC's, right, like, 20th or 21st show, like, the money just didn't, like, even out for it, so they just kind of stopped.
Well, when Dan got hit with those hurricanes down there that one year, and that kind of that took a big chunk. That he lost millions on his hotels. They had some severe damages. And when that happened, Dan slowed down because all those guys that were on they were on stipend every month that, from Dan from ATT. A lot of those guys got cut off. All those guys got cut off.
Yep. Very much so. I used to work the front desk at the gym. And even I stopped working.
Yeah, because I went up to last time I was down there was when I went down to Hermes. I went down to Hermes gym when he was up there in Jupiter with what's his face? What's up there?
Oh, the Armory.
Yeah, he's up at the Armory. All those guys are gone.
They're
all.
No,
Hermes is over here in Oregon somewhere.
He's in jail, isn't he?
Prison over in Oregon.
Yeah.
Yeah. He caught a Chimo case, so messing with one of his students.
Which is just silly.
Yeah, well, he was already back in Brazil, dude. I'll tell you right now, if I would have did that shit, I would have stuck my ass right there in Brazil. I would not come back and face those charges.
Hell no.
They have Measure 11 over in Oregon, man. You don't want to be a violent criminal in Oregon.
Yeah,
best place for... You can get away with anything in drugs, pretty much, over in Oregon, but if you hit somebody, dude, you're going to jail. You're going to prison. They do not like violent crimes in Oregon at all.
Nope. But they like the marijuana laws here, so I'm happy with that.
You guys aren't even legal yet like us.
Dude, I work in a grow shop, I have a greenhouse, and it's all legal. I'm happy. That's all that matters.
Wait, are you talking about Oregon or Washington?
I live in Oregon.
He's in Oregon. I'm in Washington.
Okay.
In Washington, we're completely legal now. When you can have up to an ounce on you, anybody can that's 21 years of age.
Man, that's nice.
Yeah, that's how we roll. Actually,
I don't know how you guys would train and smoke that much. I mean, I can understand edibles. I think
I love them.
Or like
I love edibles.
Possibly vaporizing, but like I had weekend. Where, like, I literally, like, I smoked maybe 6 puffs with a friend and went to train on Monday, and I thought I was going to fucking die. I don't know how people do it.
I eat edibles every day because I'm, for real, because of my insides, that's why I have a medical card, but I'm also fat and lazy, so I don't work out. But actually, I take that back, man. I consider this working out. I dug 2 horseshoe pits in 120-degree weather and smoked a pack of cigarettes while doing that. That's like some hardcore working out shit.
Skip, I know you're all anti-UFC, but who are you picking on tomorrow's DJ and what's your call fight? I know that's a decent fight for you.
Oh, I think the best fight on that card that people should really pay attention to is the Faber fight. I think that could be a fucking explosive fight.
I like the Lozon and what's his name fight too though.
Danzig.
The Danzig fight.
Yeah, Danzig and Lozon. That's a good fight. Real good fight.
Yeah, I think Mighty Mouse has a good chance to retain his title, but I also see a good chance of him losing it.
He's gotten better though.
DJ Linderman?
No. They're a heavyweight. That's a heavyweight.
Yeah, no. Demetrius Johnson.
Yeah. Who's he fighting, though?
He's fighting Benavides in a rematch.
There you go. That's what he was looking for, the name. He couldn't look. He was looking for the name.
Oh, yeah, no. I think Benavides might beat him in this rematch. I really do.
Nice.
I hope. Yeah, I really like Mighty Mouse. I would like to see Mighty Mouse and Pickett get back after it because their last fight was awesome.
Yeah, they. But McDonald and Uriah is a that's a hell of a fight right there.
I think that's going to be the fight of the night.
Okay, I got a question. Does anyone else hate Rory McDonald as much as I do?
Absolutely, I do.
Thank
I've always hated that piece of shit. He's a fucking asshole. He's just an asshole, bro. Yeah.
He's every bit of douche that, like, gives MMA a bad name amongst, like, other people. I hate him.
Yeah, I was excited to watch him fight Robbie Lawler because Robbie Lawler wasn't going to put up with his games that he plays. And Robbie Lawler,
hell no.
He almost finished him in that third round of that fight.
Yeah, so good. And then you saw the rankings afterwards. Whoever made the rankings had Robbie Lawler as fifth and Rory McDonald as fourth.
After that fight?
Fuck that guy. Yeah, after that fight.
Yeah.
I mean, I just beat the dog shit out of him, but he's still better than me. Fuck off.
I'd like to see Robbie Lawler and Condit fight down the road. I would just those two guys get after it, you know?
I know Lawler and Hendricks are getting it together for the belt next year.
In Dallas.
And I would expect Condit is the next in line.
They should have Rory and Condit fight. And the winner gets that championship. That's what they should do because that last match, I mean, Condit was losing, and then he finished him in the end, remember? The first time they fought.
Yeah, but why would Rory get the title shot if Rory just lost to Robbie?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's still got if he knocked out Condit, he'd be in that mix.
Okay.
So.
There's so many fucking good fights at 170 to happen. You can pretty much just close your eyes and point at two guys, and you're going to have an awesome fight.
Well, and that's why I think this card, top to bottom, is one of the best cards they've put together because they're all action fights. They're all fights fans really want to see. You know, you got Nick Lentz fighting Chad Menendez. You got Court McGee fighting Ryan LaFleur. Edson Barboza fighting Danny Castillo. Bobby Green versus Pat Healy. Cody McKenzie versus Sam Stout. Who do you got on that one, Hamlet? McKenzie versus Sam Stout.
Man, I hope my boy Cody wins, man. It's going to be a hard fight for him to win.
But isn't he the guillotine monster?
Absolutely.
Man, it's a hard call. Sam is a nasty motherfucker. Sam has got a fucking solid stand-up game, good defense, you know. But if your boy fucking puts the guillotine on, it's over. Like, isn't he like, he have 13 wins and they're all from the guillotine or some shit?
He's got one win by decision. He beat, Leonard Garcia by decision. Other than that, he's finished everybody with.
Well, here's the thing is, his only submission loss in Sam Stout's whole career was to James Krause via guillotine.
Yeah, but I don't see Sam shooting, you know what I mean, in this spot. He's going to use his speed, his angles. His stand-up's world-class, you know?
Yeah.
But Cody knows how to make a fight ugly. I'm hoping Cody wins, man. It's an uphill fight for sure. Mm.
So, Anthony, you got a bunch of guys under you, yeah? Are you training guys?
Yes, I have my gym, yes.
Who's like, from your gym or from your region even, like, some hot names to look out for?
Well, I mean, Dave is obviously, you know, he's only 2 hours from me. Krishane, we just talked about him earlier tonight. He's only 2 hours from me. I'm kind of centrally located in the state, so, I mean, Julian Erosa, he's from another gym up here. What is Julian, 11-2, something like that? He's
yeah.
A tough kid. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, we get
is
a lot of
talent
in the
local scene, or is he starting to poke into, like, the Bellator UFC name?
Which one?
The guy who's 11-2 that you just mentioned.
No, his coach is the matchmaker of the local show over there, man, and they've kind of screwed him because they've babied him. You know what I mean? He's beat a bunch of scrubs and padded his record up. Well, I guess now when you're 11-2, and he's tough, but now that you're 11-2, you got to fight real dude, man. You know?
What about Knopp? What about Knopp or Torgensen?
Torgensen. The problem with Torgensen is he won't freaking
he needs to pad his record. If he's ever going to go anywhere in this sport, his record's killing him because of it. Earlier on in his career, he just took a bunch of fights that he didn't belong in, you know? But yeah. He's tough as shit. I want to see those two guys fight. And then we also have Lee Morrison, he's about 3 hours from me.
Yeah, but he's signed with him. He's got a title shot next year at M1. He's not going to give that up.
Yeah. No.
Man,
no,
M1's
no.
Legit, man.
Fuck
absolutely.
Yes, they are.
That's good talent.
They got mafia money, man. They're good to go.
Yeah.
Dude, straight up, Kenny Garner got $200,000 for that title loss. So, yeah, they got money.
Yeah. I would love to get in on some M1 shit. Or fucking even get... Like, I'm okay. Like, I understand I might never fight again. I'm 31. I got a bad back. But I'm a good coach. I'm pretty talented there. I don't mind not fighting. I would like to. I'd be happy to. I think I got a couple more years. But if I could even just get a trip to Moscow to coach one of my guys in the M1 show, I'd be fucking happy. I just want an excuse to go to Moscow.
How did you end up in Thailand?
I came to Tiger about two years ago. I stayed for 2 months, and while I was here, I did a seminar. And after the seminar, I guess people were, like, talking because the video hadn't come out yet. But I just started getting emails and, like, Facebook messages from random gyms in the country, like one up north, one down south, you know, one in Pattaya. And Adam Kayum was my Muay Thai coach for a hot minute in the U.S. So I said, hey, man, I got these job offers. Do you know the gym owners? You know, like, the rep? Like, where do you think I should go? And he's like, oh, man, there's a gym in Bangkok that is owned by a friend of mine that's actually looking for somebody. Why don't you talk to him? So I did, and now I'm here.
Considering the money difference in the two countries, is it decent money for you guys to go over there and coach there?
Not in terms of American standards, no.
You got to love what you're doing, basically.
Well, I personally, in Florida, I didn't exactly fit in. I wasn't like a shallow, nose-in-the-air kind of asshole who only gave a fuck about what brand of clothes you wore and what kind of car you drove. So I was never, like, hot shit back home. You know, I worked my ass off in a bar. I'd have two or three jobs and teach at two or three gyms just to get by paying for my apartment and food and, you know, travel and training costs and stuff. Whereas I moved here, my job gives me a free apartment, and I literally make $800 a month, and I'm considered middle class or upper middle class.
Wow.
You know, so I'm not going to have – it's not that, like, I can go home and be like, I'm balling, bitch, because I'm fucking not. But I live very comfortably here, you know. I don't worry for anything, you know. Everything's good.
That's crazy.
That's fucking pimp.
I mean, what's – like, when you go out to dinner over there, what's a normal size? I don't – with price – like, would you go out – if you and somebody went out to dinner, what would it cost to eat out over there?
If you're going to eat Thai food, you can eat a huge meal for, like, $12. Like, okay, I went out with Shannon Werichai, the 1FC fighter, One Shin, myself, and two of my other students. And the four of us ate for $11.
Oh, crap.
And then again, like, since I'm in the city, I have options. Like, I went to a Brazilian Rodizio, like a Churrasco steak restaurant, all you can eat is steak, brought to your table style, and it was $30. Which, you know, in compared to America, like Shima and Porcão and stuff like that, which is 50 and 60, still an awesome price. But you can spend $30 on a plate, you know, if you go to the right spot. Most of the time, you're eating for less than $5, though.
I want to go there. It's one of the places. I want to go to Brazil now that I've started learning gi. Now I finally picked the gi up the last year, and I want to go down to Brazil and train with the gi, and I want to go down to, I want to go to Thailand and just, you know, learn more, just so I can teach other people. You know what I mean? That's basically what I want to go over there to do. So I don't want to go over there and fight train and beat my body up. I just want to go over there and learn, you know, different techniques. I'm always trying to learn more.
It's definitely a great place to go. You have the pick of the litter in terms of, you know, striking coaches. You can go to any major city and walk into, like, if you go to Bangkok, you can go to Master Toddy's, Emirate Airs, Jitty Gym, fucking, you can go to the Rajadam Nern Gym, you can go to the gym at Lumpini, and that's just ones that are literally on the train line. When you start getting out of the train line and start kind of wandering down the small soys, then you're getting some, like, some real back home kind of shit with, like, little secret treasures.
Nice.
You know, like, the options are almost unlimited, like, in Thailand for what you can learn.
You guys don't get harassed by the local police at all?
No, my boss is Thai and a very well-known businessman, so...
Nice.
If there are any troubles, he just tells them his name and they go away. Like, here, we had a... There was a... Years before I was here, there was a gentleman who was at the gym just kicking the bag in his free time, you know, just working on the bag. And from the fitness part of the gym, walks into the room and goes, "Hey, man, what are you doing?" He goes, "I'm hitting the bag." He goes, "But why?" He goes, "Oh, I got a fight in a couple weeks, you know, at Rajadam Nern Stadium." And he goes, "Oh, so you're working here?" And he's like, "I'm fighting." He's like, "Show me your work visa." He's like, "What?" And he goes, "Show me your work visa." He's like, I don't have my passport on me." He goes, "Well, let's go to your house and get your work visa." "Why?" He's like, "Well, if you're going to fight, you're going to make money, and you should have a work visa here." So he calls the boss, and the boss comes down. He goes, "Hi, how are you?" And he goes, "Oh, I'm so-and-so from immigration," and blah, blah, blah. He goes, "Hi, my name is, you know, XYZ." And the guy goes, "I'm very sorry, sir. I'll be leaving now." And he just walked the fuck out.
Gangster. Love it.
Yeah.
Well, hey, gentlemen, I want to say, man, yeah, it's been a fucking great night. I got a young lady in the studio who's been taking her clothes off for, like, the last 30 minutes staring at me. And
I don't think
Lepaki passed out, dude. Though I think I seriously thought for a second about putting my balls on his forehead and taking a picture to show you guys Afghani goggles, but I thought that might be a little gay, so I didn't do it.
Hold on. Pictures about the naked girl, bro. Pictures of the naked girl.
She just turned 18 like 2 weeks ago, and that's what's so hot, because she's so naive. I love it. She thinks
young doesn't do it for me, man. You know, I want to say, like Doug Stanhope would say, I like a girl who's a little bit brown. I like a girl who's going to stick it in her own butt every so often.
Okay, I'm lying, dude. She's 62 and been around the block quite a bit. I just want
too much. You're crossing lines, sir.
Yeah.
Hamlet,
sounds good, man.
I always love having you come on the show, Hamlet. It's always a blast. Dude, the man himself, Les Bangkok, Ben Stark, always a pleasure, brother. And we look forward to a long relationship with you and your whole...
Look out for Tuesday nights, guys. Live from Bangkok, coming back. Check that shit.
That's right. And I'll give Lepaki, because we all know his sponsors. He'd like to give a shout out to the Fleshlight and the Anal Farm Factory. Those are his two sponsors. He loves his death. He got that new one. What was it called? 10inchesdownyourthroat.com. That's also his sponsor. So you guys follow Lepaki for all the up-to-date information with those folks. Everybody else, you guys know how we do it, man. We're going to finish this show off with something crazy, probably. I think something a little heavy to get my head rolling. And other than that, big shout out to all my great sponsors, Clock Tower Pub, Best Fucking Business, Madhouse.com, Vision Smoke Shop, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards, Ink Tank Tattoo, Jax Media, Go Fight Live TV, Aggressive Clothing, Revolver MMA, Red Fang Motherfuckers, out.
1, 2, 3, go.
Are we off air now?
No, not yet. This is the beginning of the
stuff. Paul.
Call me Gorg.
Okay, Gorg, look, it's not about the hit points right now. I'm just trying to work on my swordsmanship.
Fireball. Totally OC, dude.
Sorry, look, this chainmail doesn't cover all of me. I have emotions still.
Hey! Gandalf, nice dress.